they had Jerry Lewis on.
Now, that, what a poll that is.
He is a legitimate sports fan. Interesting guy to talk to. He did walk into the makeup room, and almost on cue, it's like, you want me to do what you want me to do? Fine. He walks in, he sees the makeup woman, and he says, lady, can you make me look a little less shiny?
The Don and Mike Show.
For all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene, hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him.
Wow.
He died for your sins.
Yes.
Son of Christ, Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Hi, Robbie.
You know, Phil called me with his forecast.
Oh, his weather forecast?
He said there was a chance of up to 8 inches in his bedroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hey, that's me on HBO and all the ships at sea. Hey, body doubles for Miss Nancy Marchand, Don Geronimo, and Mike O'Hara.
Yeah, hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. It's a new episode, and it's Monday. March 5.
You can't say your favorite month anymore.
Yeah, I almost said the F word. I almost said February. No, March 5. And phone number 877-365-3636. In an effort to bring you more show. Streamlined a little bit here at the beginning.
You're not going to say phone number same as it ever was?
No, you know me.
I've been edited out again.
You know me, I enjoy every once in a while just cutting out some of the crap.
Well, yeah, how about Phil Hochberg? Are we going to still talk about him for the next month or what?
I played the Phil tape.
Oh, Phil Hochberg. I was just curious. We can keep Phil Hochberg in the opening? Is that okay. Just checking. I get this stuff at the last second.
I told you.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes.
I told you.
Right before we went on the air.
That's right.
Yes, good. So Phil's staying, though. Hochberg is staying.
Phil is staying.
Okay.
It's just the show is on now.
That's good.
I mean, it was part of my discussion with our boss on Saturday night, which I'll tell you about later. One of the reasons he was saying, we got into the whole thing about how come we're not cleared in larger markets.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you can't run the show on time. And I said, sure, I can run the show on time. And he said, well, you guys don't even come on until quarter after.
So he was challenging you? Is that what he was doing to run a tighter show?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to help. We'll still run late, but all it means is that instead of playing the song and then the tapes, we're actually just going to try to move the start of the show up a few moments.
Full speed ahead.
Right. Well, listen, hope you had a good weekend. I got tons of crap to tell you about from this weekend, including that that dinner on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
But we got to start the show, and I don't think it's out of line to ask for a little accountability. I don't think it's out of line. And I'm going to name some names right now.
Good.
Bob Ryan.
You do it.
Topper Shot.
Amen.
Go get him. Sue the Cow Polka.
Yes.
Doug Hill and his brand new Weather Center.
And that other guy, who I don't know, that works next to Doug Hill, he's as guilty.
Yeah, they're all guilty. Channel 4 has a 5-person weather team. They have a commercial on with Bob Ryan that says, I mean, he thinks he's the guy from Ford where he says, your safety is our number one concern. You know what our number one concern is?
Mm-hmm.
That you stop jerking us around.
All winter, every single snowstorm has been blown. Not a little bit, a lot.
But this is the worst.
Yeah. This is 2 feet. This is a forecast for 2 feet of snow on Friday that turned out to be zip.
We got
nada, niente.
We got dick. Now, on Friday, purposely, I did not discuss the weather. because I knew that it was going to end up like this.
Right.
On Friday when they were doing the stuff, I mean, I had a bunch of people in the hall say, hey, how come you're not talking about the blizzard?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, we got a packed show. We'll see what happens.
Right.
We'll see what happens. Well, here's what happens. Friday, they started it Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, by the time I got home Friday night, Frida was already in panic mode, saying,
right.
They're saying on TV we're going to get 2 feet of snow. I watched the 11 o'clock news on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board, they all got the models going, and they say, this is going to be the biggest blizzard in 50 years.
That's right. They're getting more panic going in this city than I've ever seen for a storm. It was incredible.
This is the quote from Channel 4. Get up early in the morning and get your supplies.
Right.
Oh, no.
Because there's a very good chance you're going to be at home for the next 4 to 5 days. It's going to start snowing on Saturday.
They even were doing it for the elderly, where they were saying, now if you've got a prescription that's going to run out, get out there and fill your prescription. You know, like, it's not going to be pandemonium enough. They got to do that extra group.
Wow. It's going to start snowing on Saturday, and it's not going to stop until Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the weather guy on Channel 9 say, kids, don't do your homework.
Right.
Don't worry about it. I mean, this is how
2 feet
positive they were that we were going to get the biggest snow ever.
And it's not just us. It's everybody now, the way I understand it. I mean, up the East Coast now, all of these big forecasts are turning out not to be what they expected.
Same in New York.
Right. New York, it was raining, an hour ago in New York?
That's right.
They were expecting the snow, and now this thing is going to start sometime this afternoon. Who knows? By the time this show airs tonight,
sure,
on WNEW, maybe they will actually be getting snow in New York. But as of right now,
I doubt it.
You know, 4 hours ago, if you're listening to us in New York, it still ain't no snow.
I realize how ridiculous we'll sound if when this show is rebroadcast in New York City, how silly it'll be if we're saying this right now and it's snowing like hell there. But
they'll understand.
Well, it doesn't matter, though, because even if at 7 o'clock tonight it's snowing like hell,
right,
the most they're going to have on the ground is an inch or so. They're not going to have the 2 feet of snow.
No.
But here in the D.C., Baltimore metro area.
I mean, how do they do this where they get into this frenzy and it turns out to be what they normally would say, hey, maybe there's a chance of a dusting. But no, they just completely blow it.
And I think everybody that watched TV this weekend and got all wound up. And you know, listen, all we want is an apology. All we want is some accountability,
right,
for one of these schmucks to say, you know what, I blew it, because none of them has the balls to. So it doesn't snow at all on Saturday.
Right.
After they said it's going to start, they said, well, the storm is a little late to get here, but it's going to get here. By the time you wake up tomorrow morning, it'll be snowing,
mm-hmm,
and it's going to be snowing all the way until Tuesday.
Right.
Well, we get up on Sunday morning, and guess what? No snow.
It's raining.
It's raining.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still hanging on to this, saying,
they're saying at this point that it's going to come on in, midnight is what I heard. Mid-morning on Sunday, they said. By midnight, we still should have 6 to 8 inches on the ground by, you know, rush hour. You know, they just wouldn't let it go.
And it
slowly disintegrates.
Even this morning, when I got up, and there was nothing happening, still on the news this morning, they were still saying, this thing is going to turn around, it's going to come back. We still have the potential for major snow. The potential for major snow. I got a potential for a major ass whooping for these TV weather guys.
I couldn't believe it.
Who just cannot get it right. So
it's a balmy weekend. I mean, it was like in the 50s.
Right. Finally, at about 9 o'clock this morning here in D.C., it started to snow. We got very light snow, the type of snow that, well, look, there's nothing outside now. It's all gone.
No, I mean, the snow that we got, didn't accumulate, and B, was not significant enough to last long enough to give us any snow.
At no point did it stick to roadways.
No way.
It was on grass, but not on the roadways.
People did,
sidewalks.
I'll tell you, for traffic, though, those of you going to work this morning, you did manage to panic and cause some major backups on the road.
Of course they did. Well,
thanks so much. That nasty slush. That eighth of an inch of slush.
Well, I don't blame those people. I blame the idiots at the TV stations who stir it up, and then when they realize that nothing's going to happen. Well, no, here's the step. All weekend long, they stir it up.
Yeah, and let's think about the taxpayers that are paying to have those road crews out on standby,
right,
all weekend long, all day Sunday, as we enjoyed a nice cool rain. And meanwhile, they've got the camera crews and the people that are by the trucks and by the salt that aren't going to be used.
Mm-hmm. So now it's Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and finally it's snowing.
Channel 4 goes to a live shot of National Airport, and
right.
they're all happy because they go, ha-ha, see? We told you. Look at that.
Sure.
What do you think? We got some snow.
I bet there are loads of graphics they weren't able to use, the Blizzard graphics, right. that they were just chomping at the bit. The problem is they get so excited when they think there's something that's going to happen that they don't hold back, and they're not responsible. They get too excited. It's like a news reporter that wants to, you know, cover the big disaster, and they get all the facts wrong. It's the exact same thing. The frenzy to deliver the news takes precedence over perhaps an accurate weather forecast.
And they've got all the shots of the grocery store with the people in line for an hour, the shelves where there's nothing left. People have bought every loaf of bread in the Safeway. They go to a Home Depot where they got a guy outside saying,
we got about 200 shovels this morning. They're all gone now.
Stuff's going fast.
And I think all we're looking for from these weather guys and gals is just one of them to step up and say, hey, you know what? We screwed the pooch this time.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to get 2 feet of snow. We got it wrong. Mm-hmm. But instead, what they are saying as one gigantic union of a-holes is... We told you this could happen.
Yeah, they give you every scenario. Mm-hmm. And they, you know what? I'll tell you one thing I'd like to see out of a forecast. A wintry mix. Doesn't this sound nice? Mm-hmm. A wintry mix. But you know what a wintry mix is? A wintry mix is a forecaster that doesn't want to tell you anything.
Right.
Sucks.
Just for one time, just come on tonight and say, hey, you know what? We really got you going. Man, we got you going. We made you go to the store. We made you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch TV, and there's nothing.
Hey, the USA Today, just as guilty as I hold my copy of USA Today up, and it says here, Alex Bain loads groceries into his car Sunday as snow falls. Now, we're not really sure exactly, you know, how much snow is falling around it, but it says, winter storm watches were in effect from northern Virginia to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were really zeroing it in there, as 1 to 2 feet of snow were expected over a two-day period.
Right.
Look now, outside! I know
they might be getting some up in New England. Our listeners up in Vermont, you might be getting buffeted right now. I'm
but
not sure.
But look outside.
But nice. Where we were when
it's
they said...
sunny!
It's ridiculous.
It's sunny.
That's right.
The streets are dry.
I mean, there's no... I mean, literally...
No snow. There's no snow. None at all.
Not even
and you know why I'm upset? I like snow. I especially like snow on a weekend when we're going to get it and we can sit around and watch it and make cocoa and do all that. I like that, and I know it's going to paralyze the city, but I kind of was looking forward to it.
That's exactly why everybody's so mad,
right.
Because it's a giant CT.
Yeah.
That all weekend, you know, in this case, sex is the intercourse.
Yes.
Since Thursday, we have been told, the lemmings that we are, and we believe it, we lap it up,
right.
that... You're going to get great sex.
I mean, think of all the exposure these weathermen get.
Oh,
these weathermen. They get the exposure on the... They get to lead the newscast. They get to more time than they normally get on the newscast.
And the other thing that just pisses me off, and this is regardless of it, when they thought we were going to get 2 feet of snow, mm-hmm. when we weren't getting anything, they come on at the top of the hour and they say, let's go right to Topper Shut with Washington's first guaranteed weather.
Oh, yeah, and it's a tease.
And here's what he'll do. He'll say... Well, we have some interesting news with the models, and I'll be back to tell you more. Right.
It's a big formula, and it's
in a few minutes.
Yeah. We've got to rebel.
We have got to rebel.
People have to start calling these news stations and say, cut out this crap.
You know what? We don't have to rebel because we're the lemmings.
Right.
We're the lemmings. We're going to watch it no matter what.
I know we're going to watch it no matter what, but I'm mad at it.
They have got to be accountable.
They're not.
They've got to be accountable. Bob Ryan! You effed up my weekend. My whole weekend was based on snow.
Sure. Did you go out to the stores and load up on everything?
No, I made my wife do it.
Your wife likes to do it.
And she was out of her mind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She went at... And here's how panicked we were. I mean, we all bought into this at about 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Frieda came down. She said, oh, my God. They're saying we're going to get 30 inches of snow. We were going to go to the store Saturday afternoon and get stuff for dinner on Saturday night. She said... I better go right now. She was at the store for an hour and a half
yep.
on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock.
That's the way to do it.
All those pig effers. You pig effers, and I'm talking about you, the weather people.
How dare you? I mean, I think more than any other winter that I can remember, this winter, I
I no more will watch a weather forecast and really believe in it. I don't think I'll ever do that again. I really won't. Unless I've got Doppler radar telling me what it's going to do in 5 seconds because they've got that little pink dot. You know, this, I have lost all confidence. I mean, I really almost will be planning what I do on the weekend going the opposite way of the weather forecast.
And why is it so tough for them to be honest? Why couldn't they have come on last week and said, hey, you know what? There's the chance we could get snow, but there's an equally good chance because we live south of the Mason-Dixon line that we could get no snow. How come they had to come on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Biggest snowstorm in 50 years, paralyzing the city. They were so desperate. They were showing videotape
of old snowstorms
of 1996 saying this is what it could be like.
I think the way they do it, the way that whenever we've really grilled these guys live on the air, and we've spoken to many of them, they get computer models on their little program, and that's what they forecast with. It's what the computer is telling them, and they have two or three of these models, and if they get one, just one that says there's a chance that there could be an incredible snowstorm, they jump on it. And that's when they you know, it's like, well, the computer has allowed me now to throw the world into a panic.
Well, why don't they give odds? I mean, you know, they have computers pick the Super Bowl every year, and you can go to Vegas and you can get the odds. How come they don't give you the odds? Like, how come Bob Ryan doesn't come on Channel 4 and say, hey, you know what? 2 feet of snow? 30-1.
They ought to do that. They could do that.
No snow at all? 5-1.
They really ought to be more sensitive to that and you know, giving us the, really, and that would be a great way to lay it out.
And don't you also get the feeling that I do that today, when we get no snow, and when it's sunny and it's 40 degrees, that as they're talking, they're mocking us, as they're giving the weather, as they're saying,
right,
well, it could have been worse. We really dodged a massive bullet. It could have been bad. You know what they're saying? Hey, you dumb effer.
Yeah.
You watched all weekend.
Look at our ratings.
Fap.
Look at our local news ratings just going through the roof.
You big dummy. You sat with your big fat ass on the couch.
Right.
And you believed us all weekend. And you know what? You're going to come back and you're going to believe us next time.
You know, for the sheer purpose of punishment, we ought to get a meteorologist on this show.
Oh, I guarantee you there will not be one with the stones to come on today.
And he'd have to be... No, I'm talking about our own guy. He'd, whenever there was a major weather event, he'd have to come on and he'd have to tell us what he thought it was going to do. And if he was wrong, he'd have to go out there and like be duct taped to a tree.
There's not a weatherman alive that would do that.
Mm.
Not one. And you know what the anchor
Nobody
people...
Nobody from News Channel 7?
Didn't make Charlie Stossel do it, since you already take what he says and reverse it anyway.
And the anchor,
Charlie called the weather.
The anchor people are just as bad,
right?
You know, getting everything stirred up. Well, it'll be a good night to stay in tonight because the big snow is coming.
The one thing I didn't do is I didn't change any of my plans on the weekend. I absolutely didn't. We didn't go to the grocery store. We didn't do anything.
Same here.
Because as soon as I heard a modifier,
not us.
I just said, you know,
not the numbnuts family.
It's going to be crap.
We were in total panic mode.
I normally have this little arrangement that I do with the cars when we're going to get a snowstorm. You know, back this in here. Point this in this direction, do this. And I get out of my car yesterday afternoon and I look and I go, no, I'm not doing it for you. No, I'm not going to do it this time.
I was believing it even this morning when I got up,
yeah,
when nothing was happening and they were still saying it's still going to swoop around on the second time around and get us.
When they said yesterday, the forecast said it looks like we're not going to get the snow because the temperature is not falling quickly enough, that's when I thought we were going to get snow. That's when I really thought, because I go the opposite direction. I said, oh, it felt a little colder, but then, you know, nothing happened.
Who is accountable for this?
No one.
Stand up!
I think it's a conspiracy, too.
Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 2, Channel 11, Channel 13. Stand up, you asswipes!
Absolutely.
I dare any of you to call up and tell me that you blew it. You friggin' blew it. There's no blizzard.
No.
And don't tell me that it's snowing in Caribou, Maine, because you don't deliver the weather forecast for Caribou, Maine.
You deliver the weather forecast
for Washington, D.C.
The national forecasters got it wrong, too.
Mm-hmm.
Those that were saying that it was going to be, first it was, you know, it was going to be Baltimore, not Washington. Then it was going to be Philadelphia, not Baltimore. Then it was going to be New York and not Philadelphia. I mean, they all are just like dominoes because they get so excited about what their computer vomits out to them.
Please. Jesus Christ.
Ridiculous.
I'd like to clunk them all on the head with a snow shovel. I really would. Bob Ryan, Doug Hill, Sue Calpalca, Copper Shut, the Baltimore guys, the Philly guys, the New York guys, Al Roker.
Al Roker deserves it.
Tony Perkins. Big fat guy on the CBS Hello, Good Morning show.
Mark McEwen.
Yes. All of them. Jesus Christ. You can all eat me raw. I'm serious.
It's ridiculous.
And not once do they come on and say we made a mistake.
And I feel...
We're sorry.
I feel most sorry for the kids.
Yeah.
I really do. Because I remember how I felt. I mean, when I was a kid, it would, you know, that was a jailable offense.
Mm-hmm.
When they would come out and say, hey, okay, nothing. And how many kids didn't do homework last night?
Well, I know it was a battle.
Rob, I know you didn't do yours.
I know it was a battle to get our kid to do his homework.
Yeah.
Because he was positive last night. And I guess by about 7 o'clock last night, it finally started to dawn on me that, you know, been effed again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not going to...
Totally effed again.
I said to him, you better finish your homework. He said, no, school will be delayed.
Every major snowstorm that was forecast, every significant snowstorm of over 6 inches was BS.
Yep.
Every single one they predicted this year, they blew it. Their statistics, they would be batting. They would not be in AAA.
No, no, no.
They would not be in AA. They would be in A ball.
No, you know what they are? Mr. Blutarski.
Yep.
0.00.
It is the worst job of winter weather forecasting that has ever been done in Washington's history. You know how I know that?
No.
I don't.
There you
good.
Go.
I'm
I
just
think
saying
you do.
It.
That's
just
good.
Yeah.
It's all right to make stuff
the,
up.
Can I say it again? Because it sounds like I have
yeah,
a book
it.
With
say
it in front of me. This is the single worst job of winter weather forecasting that has ever taken place in the history of our nation's capital, and they should be held accountable for it.
And it ain't so bad that they screwed up the forecast. But just don't. You know, don't walk around with the carrot on the string
right.
for 4 days, and then when it doesn't happen, just say, well, we told you it might happen. Come on, you didn't say that.
Nobody else is allowed to do that in their job. Nobody else is allowed to BS us and get us into a frenzy. There should be some criminal liability for this.
Amen, brother.
Criminal liability. Because there are people that probably headed out and that were on the roads that shouldn't have been because they were
Hold
going
on.
To do something.
I got a guy here who says he spent $30,000 and bought a four-wheel drive this weekend.
There you go.
Hey.
Hello, idiot.
Hey, what's happening, Donna? Mike? Yeah, I live out there in Crofton, man. And my wife's watching the radio, listening to the TV, all that crap.
The radio.
Let's get rid of the old truck. Let's put a plow on it. Let's get a plow. And I'm a black guy. Like, what do I know about snow, right? Hey, what do I know about snow? I said, all right, well, let's go get a new truck, honey. We go and get a new truck. Guess what? No freaking snow with a four-wheel drive truck.
You know that this guy is not the only one that did that.
Yeah, you should do.
There were several people that went with me. That's the thing. We're all $30,000 for a truck with a plow on the front. A freaking Ford. That's what I got.
You should run over Bob Ryan with that car.
Yeah, thanks to my lovely wife of 13 years.
Guy's bitter.
Thank you, my friend. I'm telling you, I don't think the TV stations know the level.
No.
I mean, I know we yell at them all the time when they get the weather wrong.
You know, they do research. You know, they're looking at this and say, hey, if we really hype this up, we'll make sure everybody's tuning in. That's what they're all about.
But I don't think they know the level of the backlash that people are feeling about this storm. When you come on and say this is going to be the worst snowstorm in 50 years.
Right.
And then we don't have one snowflake?
Are you aware of any other show, at least in this area, that gives people this opportunity to vent after
this? No, I don't.
Because nobody gets as mad as you and I do at these weather forecasters. And I think this is good. This is healthy. Let them hear you. Let them hear how frustrated you are at this crap.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You know, I think an apology is really not enough here. I think, you know, they should initiate some program where the weather guys are financially responsible for, you know,
yeah.
the 60 gallons of milk that I had to run out and buy, you know, all that kind of crap. What kills me is they have these, what do they have to, like a Doppler 9 million now or something to that effect?
Yeah,
and they still have the weather watchers, which are basically guys out who live in Laurel. Then
yes.
They call and say, hey, is it wet in your backyard? Yeah, it sure is, you know.
Right, okay, thank you. Excellent point, my friend.
We are
right.
So not alone on this. We are so among our friends when it comes
Hello.
To this.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Welcome to the Kill the Weatherman show.
Well, I think, though, what's the best is, don't you love the commercials with Doug Hill saying how he left Channel 9 because he's totally dedicated to giving the best weather report possible, and Channel 7's 100% dedicated to, you know, giving you the best weather reports and how they have all this new top-of-the-line equipment.
Channel 7's guaranteed to giving it to you up the a-hole. That's what they're guaranteed. Channel 7 says, if you're going to watch us, take your pants off and bend over. You're going to watch News 7. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, it's pretty interesting. I've been watching weather like you guys forever and ever, and it's like, what other job, I mean, do you know that you could be wrong 75% of the time and not get fired?
No job. There's no job. And
I mean,
let's face it,
I'd be out on my ear. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I wonder if they should, if they're getting kickbacks from all the stores, you know, from all the things that are being bought, like, you know, all the bread's gone, all the milk's gone, and I wonder if those weather people are getting kickbacks from all that because of the increased revenue.
If we are talking about winter storm predictions, 75% is being enormously kind.
Right. They're wrong.
They're wrong.
90% of the time.
90% of the time.
And that is being generous.
Right.
Really, it is. God, they're pig efforts.
You can look at a forecast for a major winter storm this year, this winter in the Washington, D.C. area, and you will know that 9 times out of 10, it is BS.
Hello?
It's not true.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, man. You know, I work for the federal government here in D.C.
Yes.
And let me just tell you, we get paid when it snows. And we don't have to go to work.
I know. The federal workers go nuts over that.
Yeah, you guys love it.
So there I am watching The Sopranos last night. Excellent. And, you know, stay up late, play with the new computer, mess around. And there I got to wake up at 5:30 in the morning to see these knuckleheads telling me, up. Didn't snow.
Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sorry, we...
See, all the government workers in D.C., when someone pees on the road,
right,
they all get the day off. And even last night, that guy's probably right. Around The Sopranos time, I bet he was thinking, you know what, I don't have to go to bed because I'm not going to have to get up and go to work tomorrow.
And this is a forecast where it was a Sunday nighter that they were counting on, okay? The best possible storm for people that have to go to work that might have a day off.
And you know that last night they knew we weren't going to get anything.
Right.
You know that they knew, but they didn't tell us. Why didn't you tell us?
That's right.
Why? We deserve the truth.
Of course we do.
God, you're all bastards. You really are.
You should be. It should be a prosecutable offense.
Amen. You should be hung by your thumbs in a public forum.
Right.
You really should. Be like Gladiator. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Radio God. Take a aviation weather forecast class so you can learn how to interpret what... Bob Ryan is not telling you.
Oh, please. I'm not going to take a class so I can learn that the dope on Channel 4 doesn't know how to tell the weather.
Well, you know, I've talked about Bob Ryan before. I will tell you that this gentleman has a language of his very own.
He's the master of the doublespeak.
He expresses himself in sentence fragments that you cannot decipher. He is a genius in his own mind when it comes to these almanacs and stuff. And the guy does not make any sense at all.
And basically what he does is he covers his ass. But I'm telling you, and I wish, you know, one of these times you're going to remember to tape these guys. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there was no double talk.
Right.
There was no waffling. It was, it's coming, it's going to be the biggest storm ever, you better get your supplies.
Bob Ryan will give you a sentence like this. He will come on and say, well, we've missed the snow, but I'll tell you right now, some snow could be coming into our area very soon. He has said that. I swear to God. He has made sentences. He's put together sentences like this where he says, well, the major winter event is not as certainly going to arrive, but I'll tell you right now, we've got some people out there that are really thinking about some serious snow that might be in there, but I really don't see a real chance of anything significant, but there could be some significant accumulation. And I'm like, I'm sitting there going,
You would not tolerate that from a news anchor.
No, he is.
If a news anchor came on and said, hey, today in Seattle, a man went into a Kmart and shot 10 people. We'll have details coming up. And then you find out that it's a kid that went into a school in San Diego today and shot people up.
Right, exactly. You wouldn't tolerate it.
You would say, boy, that guy told us something wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, it was wrong all the way across the board.
Know, if a guy came on and said, hey, great news, the Giants killed the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, after the game had been played.
Yeah. Do you know what? Seriously, I wish it was for the storm, but I seriously challenge our listeners that watch that Channel 4 weathercast, transcribe it. if somebody has the inclination, transcribe what he says word for word and send it to us. And I guarantee you, for any weather forecast,
it's gobbledygook.
You read it and it'll beep.
Here's a guy who says he called Bob Ryan this morning and cussed at him.
Oh, good.
Is that true?
Yeah, I called him. I was so pissed that I told him, I said, hey, I like your weather forecast. You can suck my balls.
Oh, God.
He just hung up on me. He didn't even try to retaliate.
Gee, I'm amazed at that he hung up on you when he said that.
How did you get through? Would you just call Channel 4?
Yeah, he just asked for Bob Ryan.
Hey, Bob, suck my balls.
All right, bye-bye.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I like it.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was thinking if you guys...
Hello.
A weatherman down there?
Yeah, Bob Ryan?
Yeah, right here. What can I do for you?
Suck my balls.
If you guys want somebody that'll seriously make predictions and be wrong about it...
No, listen, we've got plenty of guys wearing expensive suits and plenty of big cow women wearing polka dot dresses who can give us the wrong forecast. Please
get out of here.
We got those on every single station.
Weather Center, Bob Ryan here.
Hey, Bob, suck my balls.
Oh, thank you.
And what's even worse now is that it's not just one guy. They've all got friggin' weather teams.
Yeah. Yes, huge amounts of employees.
You know, they got four or five.
Still on that last guy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike. I'm a 15-year-old student, sophomore in high school, and I didn't do any of my homework last night, and my teachers didn't even come prepared to school today. They didn't even create lesson plans. It was pretty much a free for all in class.
Yeah, honestly, if I was a teacher, I'd make it pizza day today.
Right.
Seriously, no lesson plans.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, do you think Don and Mike Bob's getting a kickback from Giant? How much groceries did they sell on Saturday?
Oh, I mean, you really do. Economically, you do have to take that into account.
You're not the first guy to ask that question. Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Give me the phone number at Channel 4.
Right.
I call Bob Ryan. Time to suck my balls. Really.
Oh, my God.
All those guys. I mean, and we just single out Bob Ryan because he's the master of doublespeak, but they're all equally bad.
Yes.
And, you know, don't you think we'd have a lot more respect for one of those guys if they just came on and said, hey, guess what?
I have no clue.
We really blew it.
There is such a convergence of systems right here. There is such a differential between weather fronts and temperatures aloft and below that I really have absolutely no idea what it's going to do. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll survive it no matter what it is. And there's really no need to take your ass out to the local grocery store because you're not going to starve. This is America. We have vehicles.
Don't put that number away yet, Rob.
And get through. Hold on.
Here's your forecast. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. You could be hit by a bus.
Okay, keep that out for a second.
I'll get out.
MC4.
Yes, hi. This is the Don and Mike show. We're on the air right now. May we please speak to the weather department?
Okay.
Thank you.
Now we have to say we're on the air again to these gentlemen, too.
Right.
NBC for Weather, may I help you?
Yeah, hi, this is the Don and Mike show. We're on the air right now. We're wondering, is old Bob Ryan around, or how about Burger Jeff, Tom Curine?
Hold on.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, Bob Ryan. How would you
like to
suck my ball?
Oh, God. And after Friday's show, I'm paranoid. Is that getting on the air?
Hello.
Bob.
Yes.
This is Don and Mike. We're on the air. Do you mind going on the air with us?
We want to give you a hard time, Bob.
I can't imagine why.
We want to yell at you, Bob. Do you mind coming on the air and so we can yell at you?
Come on, just for a second.
All right, for a second.
Okay, just for a second.
Bob, what are you doing, Bob?
Bob, come on. Tonight at 6:00, are you going to get on the air and say that you guys blew the forecast?
Which forecast?
Wait, all of them.
Exactly. No.
No?
No. 24-hour forecast. We on Friday, the forecast for Saturday was correct. On Saturday, the forecast for Sunday was correct. On Sunday, the forecast for Monday was correct.
Oh.
Yes, there was the chance that there would be a big storm, and up in New England, the people up there would lovely. I'm sure trade places with. They're going to get 1 to 2 feet of snow.
Well, we don't live there, Bob. We
I know,
live
but
here.
It was always. You know, I think we all have to be extra careful and make sure that we communicate better in the future because, but I did not go on the air and say rush to your local supermarket and stock up on bread, milk, and toilet paper.
That was
and all of the condensed soup. I had my boss was seeing people running out taking all the condensed soup off the shelves. You know, I did not. Nobody said this is going to be Armageddon. This is going to be the end of the world.
Well, hey Bob, that's a good idea for the next weathercast. If there's a winter storm, simply say hey, but don't go crazy here.
Just a little caveat.
As a matter of fact, on Friday I said I would not change any plans at this point.
Do you have a tape of that?
I do.
If you send us a tape of you saying that on Friday, I swear to God we'll play that on the show.
Okay. I'll do it. I said. There's no. It's much too early to panic. You can panic tomorrow.
okay. There
you go. No, but I said. I also said. You know that at that point, and it did late Friday. It looked a little bit more certain that a storm would be forming off the coast. But on Friday, I said that it was 50-50 whether it would even form, and people should stay informed.
Well, Bob, you should know that the Don and Mike Show is known as the weatherman's friend.
Oh, I know.
Well, Bob,
and I know you guys are stuck in the whole weekend preparing, and I know you have plenty of bread and toilet paper right now.
Absolutely.
But you always do that anyhow, right?
Yes, we do. Bob, would you just, on behalf of all the weather guys, would you just say I'm sorry?
If anybody that was greatly inconvenienced, I'm sorry, and I'm especially sorry that there was not school canceled this morning.
All right.
How about that?
All right. We accept that. You're a brave man, Bob Ryan.
Thank you,
Bob. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very good.
Oh, and Bob. Suck my balls.
He didn't hear that.
No, I hung up on him.
Of course. Oh, my God. Wow. That's funny. I am amazed. He never does that.
Yeah, well.
He never does. I think it shows you the gravity of the situation.
He must
right
be
now.
Feeling the pressure.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's so funny. I didn't say panic. Not for Saturday. You know, hey, now.
Meanwhile, you know.
I really want to point out what he said. What he said was the forecast for Saturday was a good one, and the forecast that we gave for Saturday on Friday was accurate, and the forecast that we gave on Saturday for Sunday was accurate. That is what he is telling you right there, because that one guy that called us that said outside of that 24-hour window, it is extraordinarily difficult to really hone in, and you can't do that. That's what he's telling you. So
right.
These five-day forecasts, ladies and gentlemen, they are crap.
They're crap.
You know what? I just remembered hearing his voice. Did you see the crawl they were running on Channel 4 on Sunday afternoon? They go, deet, 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 and it would start to say, from the Channel 4 weather desk, ... This is Bob Ryan, ... Like, oh, my God, it's coming from Bob Ryan. Read this now.
All right, well, you heard it. He apologized, kind of.
You cornered
him.
No,
I think he gave you a real... Wait, no, he did qualify it, didn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
That's the closest you're ever going to get.
He never apologizes
from Bob Ryan.
That's, you know what? I think the only one that we haven't had in our sights is Mr. Hill.
And if Bob Ryan will send us a tape of him on Friday...
Hill and Palka, we haven't gotten them.
Oh, who needs Sue Palka?
Oh, I do.
Oh, God.
You better believe I do.
Oh. All right, well, there's a weatherman.
Do I?
You heard it. He apologized. Said he's very sorry. He's very sorry.
He's got an almanac.
He sure does.
But he does that. You know, even during our little conversation there, he was doing a little of his sentence fragments.
Sure. He's beautiful. You go into politics.
He's got to be the... Don't you think... He's probably the guy that's pulling down the most gelt.
He's also got to be the guy today... Who wouldn't dare show his face in public? I got to think it's got to be, you know, he's got to be glad that crazy kid shot up all those people in San Diego.
Right.
You know, because everybody, by the end of today, everybody will forget about how mad we are at the weatherman.
He's out there getting his own bread, milk, and toilet paper, and he's wearing one of those little Groucho mustaches.
Yeah, that's right. He has to go out incognito, or like Michael Jackson, wear one of those surgeon's masks or something.
I have a prescription to pick up for Bob Ryan. No, I don't know Bob myself. I'm just picking up the prescription.
He's lucky that someone doesn't give him a golden shovel rectally. Really, yeah, that's his big thing.
He's Bob's golden shovel.
He's got the golden shovel.
Right.
That, you know, if you predict the first snowfall, Bob will come to your house and will actually shovel your driveway.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
But I give him credit. He came on the air.
Came on the air with the guy. Always have to give a guy credit for doing that.
Yeah. All right.
That's it, though. That's it. That's where the credit ends, right there.
Please. He screwed up as bad as the rest of them. All right. Let's break. I'd like to break. Thank you.
Here it is.
I tried to give away $500 with Secret Song number 7.
Wow.
What's wrong?
I can't read your writing. What does it say?
For rain predictions, he should do the golden shower.
Okay. All right.
With Tom Curine and Bob Ryan.
But not Sue Falcon.
Be the 100th caller now, and you get a shot at $500 if you can identify secret song number 7.
Bob Ryan, you see Tom Curine on the scaffolding above my head.
877-365-3636. Be call 100 right now.
Number 1, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
What exactly are we looking at here?
What do you mean? What's the...
I mean, is it the or the?
Is it the Frank or the Dean?
Right.
I don't know. It looks like I think it's a little bit of both.
Break the vein.
Perpetually battling J.D.
Every day.
The Don and Mike Show.
Every day we are.
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you about some weekend stuff here in a second.
Good.
Of course, we'll be reviewing Sopranos. A little extra special Sopranos surprise if you watched the pre-show last night. Lisa was at the tanning place again. We'll be reviewing her tan.
That's right.
And, hold on a second. Got to do the contest here. Call her 100 time right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Listen, you're call 100.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's you.
Serious?
Yes. And I know, I forgot. We got a Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night we got to talk about.
Well, tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, my God.
I know you were there for that meeting.
Yeah, I think I was, yeah.
Yes, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night in Fred Neck, Maryland.
All right.
What's your name?
Vicky.
Vicky, where are you from?
Reno.
Beautiful. Vicky. Oh, and we're going to have a big announcement for everybody in Reno. Yeah, we're going to make that show up to you. Hopefully we'll be able to tell you about that very soon. Vicky, you've won the limited edition ABC TV The Job wool bomber jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
The Job, starring Dennis Leary, is ABC's new and original series. It premieres Wednesday, March 14th, 9:30, 8:30 Central on ABC. Now you're going to go for $500 with Secret Song Number 7, a hit record from the 1990s. Give us title and artist, and you'll win $500.
Okay.
Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Kind of a theme today, the Weather Girls.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Ah, great song. I was going to be singing that song while I was out shoveling the 2+ feet of snow. Thanks, Bob Ryan. If we give away the money today, it's courtesy of Main Street Title.
It's raining, man. Raining men.
Yeah.
You're like the third weather girl.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See, you got to see Mike, though. He gets up and actually dance.
Well, you can't do that unless you get up. You have to hit your feet for that one. Okay.
For $500, give us a title and artist. If you don't know, just guess.
Berlin and...
Hi.
That song from... Oh, shoot.
Do you mean Take My Breath Away?
Yes, Take My Breath Away, Berlin.
No.
He wouldn't have helped you if it
Oh, we're sorry. Yeah, I would have given you the answer if it was right.
Sure.
All right, thank you, though. Thanks.
And
don't forget, every guest is a clue for you.
Clue for you.
Thank you. We'll do it again soon. Now, you know, we're so mad at the weatherman, we didn't even come on to tell you that tomorrow night it's the return of the Las Vegas-style show. And, boy, are we excited going to Fred Neck, Maryland.
We are indeed. It's going to be a big one. I'm going to, of course, have to change some last-minute plans, but I'll be there.
The show tomorrow night, 9 o'clock at Club Exhale. Don't cost nothing to get in.
Right.
We're going to have the whole wacky gang out there, including Homo Joe and Dennis and Tom and Mr. 40 and Cheryl the Big Dyke. And
good.
It's the standard Las Vegas-style show.
Yay.
Okay?
We're going to have a great time, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody in Frederick.
There's going to be no problems with the liquor board or with the ABC people or with the Bible thumpers who are already worried that we're coming up there.
Mm-hmm.
All the girls will be wearing pasties on their nips.
Very good.
And we're working on the bottoms.
Very good, yes. We've still got stuff left over from Reno.
Yeah, great show. Nude Feud, the underwear fashion show, the Homo Joe Challenge. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to do this yet, but somehow you and I are going to buy a free drink for everybody in there tomorrow night.
We'll try to figure it out.
Yeah, well, I think we just give away a ticket. Everybody, when you come through the door, you get a ticket. And
absolutely.
That's good for your free drink from us is our way of saying thank you for making the show number one Arbitron rated again.
Very good.
So we will look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, the Las Vegas-style show at Exhale in Fredneck, Maryland, 9 p.m. Don't ask me where it is because I'm not driving there. I'm having a car come pick us up.
Wow. Yeah, we're you know, it's far, and, you know, we like to enjoy ourselves, and, you know, you don't want to do that.
We're not sure where the place is, and frankly, you know, you don't want to get lost in Fredneck, Maryland.
It's a nice, it's a big metropolitan area.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful, Fredneck.
I've been to Frederick many times.
Really?
Yes.
All I know about Frederick is the Francis Scott Key Mall, which is an insult to the word mall.
Well, I'll tell you, if you know that, you know Frederick.
Okay.
Pretty good driving range up there.
We will see you tomorrow night. Now, listen, this weekend... Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
There's our producer, Chuck Broyhill. You know, we had this dinner with the boss on Saturday night.
You're a better man than I. I'm glad you had it. How was it?
It was fine. Ken Stevens and his wife, Roz, and their son, Douglas, who's a real cute kid.
Yeah.
They came over at about 7 o'clock on Friday night. And all day on Saturday, Frieda kept saying to me, the first thing you got to say when they come through the door is... Hey, you know, I was just kidding with all the stuff that I said on the air. You guys
sure
should have known that. So I was.
You're the only one that knows that it's really true.
Yeah, but I was practicing this all day. I was
right,
actually standing at the door and imagining the Stevens coming through and me saying, "Hey, hey, don't you know what I'm kidding?
Who loves you?
Hey, you wouldn't be here if I didn't really like you.
Come on in, pal."
So we came. They came in and I gave that to them and they. Seem to, well, frankly, I don't know if they believed it or not, but they were there.
It was the gesture that counted.
Immediately, you know, I don't know what it is about Ken in a social situation, but immediately, as soon as he walked through the door, he hadn't even taken his jacket off yet. He pulled out some papers out of his pocket. He comes in and he goes, "I got something I want to show you." We go stand in the kitchen by where we have the big breakfast nook, and he lays out these papers, and it's all this like financial stuff from Westwood One,
right?
That's the first thing he did. He came by my house and he goes, "See how much better the show's doing financially here? And look at this. And I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, wait, why are you doing this? This is supposed to be social.
Well, it's the way Ken breaks the ice. He wants to give you some good news about the show as an icebreaker to alleviate his social discomfort.
So then we had a drink.
Quickly, I'm sure.
Yes, that was. They got their coats off. I told them, put the paperwork away. Mm-hmm. Tonight is strictly social. I had a martini.
Shock.
Ken had Simply Vodka on the rocks. And Roz enjoyed a wonderful Cosmopolitan.
Wow.
While Frieda was drinking her one of her 8 bottles of wine that
good.
She had on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, wonderful banter. We bantered with the Stevens for about an hour and a half.
What was on the menu?
Steak.
Mm, very good.
And some pasta.
Oh, good.
And you know, I mean, my wife did it fine.
Sure.
She did everything just great.
You didn't cook the meat?
I did grill the meat outside.
You grilled the meat, okay.
Grilled the meat outside. Thought that that was going to be where Ken and I were going to be most of the evening. But as it turns out, I just left the steaks.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't stand out there and play with the steaks. Mm-hmm. I would go out and look at them, come back in. Go out, look at them, come back in. It was... not as bad as I thought it would be.
Rather pleasant evening?
Yes.
Not an unpleasant evening.
No. If just Roz and Douglas had come, it would have been a great evening.
Right.
Ken, for whatever reason, in social situations...
he's uncomfortable.
Just, you know, he's nervous, and that makes me nervous.
Right.
And even though he was drinking, he was still
mm-hmm.
kind of nervous. I mean,
right.
I think he was waiting at any moment for the closet to open and all you guys come out and, like, go, "Hey!"
Thought like maybe somebody was overhearing him, right?
Yeah.
He just couldn't let his guard down.
It's the way that he is, but...
It's been tense. That's understandable. He's been to your home before and been more at ease, hasn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, we've had all that behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, some
on,
serious stuff, heavy stuff.
So it was about 10 o'clock, and we were finishing the dinner, and Frieda got an apple pie, and everybody's having a piece of apple pie. And I know the Stevens thought that this was a pre-planned move, but I swear to God it was not. Robbie, where's the doorbell sound effect? Because it was about, they've been there about 3 hours, and all of a sudden... And to turn around and, hey, we're invaded by the British. The Brits invaded. They came down.
The people you wanted to come.
Now, you know, this is the problem that I had said on the air, that they would be our neighbors, the British people.
That's
they
so would, cool that you got neighbors like that.
That they would be a great buffer couple.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I swear to God, I didn't know that they were going to show up, right? I didn't know it. And this is why I feel bad. I'll tell you why I feel bad. My only regret towards the Stevens on Saturday night was that as soon as Gary and Sarah, our neighbors, arrived, mm-hmm. it went from being a sedate dinner party
right.
to being a real party.
A shindig.
Where the music got turned up a little bit.
Right.
The next thing you know, Gary's dancing with my wife. I am dancing with his wife.
Right.
And at one point, you know, we're out there, the four of us dancing, and I looked over and I realized that the Stevens weren't dancing.
Oh, dear. Oh.
They weren't dancing. Uh-huh. That you know,
they felt like outsiders.
Well, I don't think that
they felt ostracized.
I don't know that they felt ostracized. All I know is that the party moved into another gear when the Brits arrived.
Did Ken seem amused at the Brits?
I couldn't tell you.
Right.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, Ken was all the way at one end of the table.
Right.
And I was all the way at the other end of the table. So most of my conversations were with the people who...
Were you able to curb your enthusiasm when the British couple showed up?
No.
I know that if it was late in the evening, they'd say, hey!
No, and that's exactly what happened. And that's why I feel...
Yeah.
That's why I feel just a touch of remorse today. Because I know that they think... I think the Stevenses think... that we set that up on purpose.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, we didn't set it up on purpose.
You had talked about them being a buffer couple.
Right, and Frida poo-pooed that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, they had been out doing other stuff, and they, you know, drove by, saw the lights were on.
Rock and roll.
Came by, and at that point, the party really got cooking. Really, really got cooking. And at that point, I think, now it was me, not Frida, I think at that point that I became a bad host.
Right.
Because at that point, I started to forget that Ken and Roz were there.
No, yes, the outsiders.
And was just...
The out-of-towners.
Was just, you know, rapping with the British people. You know, and I had to catch myself because we would talk about inside stuff. I mean, not secret stuff, but stuff
right.
that the four of us knew about. And you know how it is when you're at a party and somebody says something about somebody and you laugh and then you turn and someone doesn't know what the conversation's about.
Sure.
And then you try to bring them up to speed, and no matter how wittily you manage to tell the story, the other person really doesn't get it.
Well, you know, it seems to me, I also socialize with my neighbors, and you know people for a long time. They know you. You have dynamics with those people that are not... Yeah, you know, other people are not privy to, and it's difficult to. It's probably difficult to observe that, I would imagine.
But Ken and Roz hung in there. They did not pack up and leave. And once we all stopped dancing,
right.
we sat down again.
The four of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I feel weird about it.
Did you see Ken going over to the bar again when you started dancing?
No. I don't think. No, I think he was on the wine train.
Okay.
By that time,
very good.
That we had by the time we had dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We're just drinking wine, and Frida just kept going to get another bottle of wine. Who wants more wine? Who wants more wine?
More mutton. Bring me more mutton.
I would say overall it was a very enjoyable evening.
Any business transpire? Did he indicate anything to you that would make our professional lives better?
Yes.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he did.
But I'm glad he does.
Now, of course, I want to say I was drunk. He was drunk.
Right. Yes.
You know. Who knows what...
You never know what he's saying. Right, exactly.
I'm going to try to find this phone, though. He's here today.
Oh, good. This is always my favorite part of a social encounter between you and Ken, when you call Ken to verify that some of the things he said are true.
While you're dialing, I want to tell you Vice President Dick Cheney has been admitted to a hospital with chest pains.
Wow.
Again.
God, that didn't take long.
No.
Wow.
All right.
Bad? Any degree or anything like that?
Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Ken, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Ken.
Yes.
Dick Cheney's in the hospital.
We just, as we were calling you, Buzz broke in with a bulletin that the vice president has been admitted to the hospital with chest pains.
Really?
Buzz, how dare you upset my cadence? Here, I was on a wonderful roll and just broke into the
story. Who becomes vice president if Cheney can't do it?
Army Archer.
Perfect. Rob Spiewak.
I believe they don't fill the seat, but if they're both removed, Secretary of... No, who is it?
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House would step up. He's the next in line, but they don't necessarily fill the position.
So if we don't have our vice president, we just don't have a vice president?
It won't be the dude who said the N-word this weekend?
No.
On TV?
Fortunately not.
And who's that guy?
Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia.
Yeah, right. Did you hear about that?
No.
He was on a talk show, and he said, I know lots of white N-words.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, get those doddering
feet. He was talking about how great race relations are.
Unbelievable.
Especially in the fine state of West Virginia.
So, Ken.
Yes, sir.
Hi there. Listen, we're discussing Saturday night.
Don said he had a fantastic time, Ken.
And I hope you did.
I had a great time.
I hope you did. I hope, and seriously, my only concern is that you and Roz think that the British people coming over was something we had planned. I swear we had not planned that. We did not know that they were going to drop in.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I mean, that's okay.
No, they
were really nice.
Yeah, it tells me that he thought that they were. Mm-hmm.
I thought that you would think that because I was, sent on the air, they'd be a good buffer couple. I was totally caught off guard when they came over, and so was Frida.
Yeah, you did look kind of surprised.
Now, did you...
Especially since, what time did we all leave?
Very late.
I know, because when I got home, I said, oh, my God.
Very late. Yeah, you guys... Yeah, that was a record for the Stevens in our home.
That's good.
At what point... Just let me ask you, when everybody was dancing, what were you and Roz thinking? I mean, do you think we swing with them or something? Because Gary immediately grabbed Frida's hand and said,
right,
let's dance. And then Sarah, his wife, said to me, well, don't you like this song?
Right.
Let's dance to this song.
Dancing right away.
Yes.
How soon after they arrived did the dancing begin?
Oh, I think that was kind of late in the evening.
A couple hours.
But
maybe.
Let me tell you this: he dances at home. It's exactly the way he dances at the Christmas party.
Okay.
I've got the mental picture now.
No, there was nothing. There was nothing swinging about that. Believe me.
Come on. I'm an excellent dancer. It was a lot of the, not disco dancing. It was
right.
Like,
ballroom dancing.
Holding her and
really?
Yeah.
Did you dip?
No. Okay. No, I didn't dip.
I'm just checking.
My wife was sitting right there watching me.
Okay.
Did you tell them what the songs were?
I know one of the songs was Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Respect?
No. That one. Till you come back to me, that's all I'm gonna do. Frankly, I don't remember what the other song was. Do you?
I'm gonna sing on your door.
Ken, do you remember the other song?
No, I think that was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. I mean, they're bad, yeah. Bad songs. Here's what I wanted to ask. Any of the stuff Mike was just asking me, that said, did you guys talk any business? And I mentioned that we talked some business.
Yeah, we talked a little business.
Okay. The business that we talked, was that real talk or was that drunk talk?
Yeah.
Oh, a little of both. Yeah. Okay.
We talked more than we probably would have talked sober. Totally sober.
But I
remember... I remember all of that. That was a pretty interesting conversation.
And I wasn't so drunk that I don't remember everything that was said.
No, I don't think you were drunk.
Oh, no, I was. I was, but I was not like drunk like I've been before. I was tipsy.
Back to the Christmas party again.
Yeah.
No, that was...
So all that stuff, that was all...
Yeah, I'd say that was pretty real.
Okay.
I remember it.
Okay. Good. Excellent.
That's good.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, then it was a good time. And
a good time was had by all.
I say bad stuff about you all the time, but your kid is great. And really, you should check and see if that kid is adopted or not.
I'll do. I know.
Because Douglas is a wonderful kid. At one point, he just got tuckered out.
Right.
I mean, he'd been running around and playing.
Having a good time?
Well, just look, he's down on the floor. He's just on the floor.
Out?
Yeah. Our two dogs were laying on the floor sleeping, and about 5 feet away from them was Douglas, who was just O-U-T.
What's Douglas, six now, Ken?
Yeah, he's six.
Wow. 6 years old. That's what six-year-olds do.
In fact, another half hour, I'd have been down there with him.
It was a very nice time, and thank you for coming.
No, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jesus Christ, that was awkward.
I know. Well, I gotta do it.
I know. I understand.
I got to do it. I got
thank you. Bye.
I got the lecture from mommy today.
Right.
You know, don't say anything bad.
You did good.
Well, nothing bad happened.
No, you didn't say anything bad.
No.
He sounded like he had a good time. As good a time as he can have.
Hello?
Hi, sweetie.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
I just talked to you, Kat. Everything's fine.
Good. No, I thought we all had it. I had a great time. I thought they did, too.
My only concern was that they thought that we had set up the thing. Wow, what phone are you on? That's an awful hum.
I know. It's been that way all day. You know, I heard you say that, and that didn't even occur to me till you said that. And then I thought, I'm glad you clarified that for him.
That I bet. Well, you better say that we didn't know it, because he won't believe me, but he'll believe you.
No, I think he wouldn't believe you, but we were genuinely, he was right. We were genuinely surprised, and we were both giddy enough not to be that good of an actor, you know?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, they came and went,
You were genuinely, pleasantly surprised,
yeah,
is what you
yes,
were, yeah.
No, it was a very, see, well, the, Gary had been out of town, had just gotten into town that day, I mean, from overseas, so, it, you know, I didn't even say anything, you know. I had no idea. You know, you would think a person would be exhausted. I know my husband flies to, if he's in Frederick, he's exhausted.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. Excuse me for working for a living, not having a job like Gary, where all he does fly on an airplane to Hong Kong and have some freaking meeting and then get on the airplane and fly back home. And,
you know, you're the one that everybody feels sorry for because you really work hardest of everybody.
Oh, I work harder than either of those other two guys.
Oh, I know. And all that off-air time you have to spend watching TV really adds up.
Oh, please. Like, Ken doesn't watch TV, like Gary doesn't watch TV.
Yeah, but they at least, they don't have the audacity to say to their wives, when I look at you, like, why aren't you doing something, that you're working when you're watching The White Shadow. I still haven't put that together.
The White Shadow is recreational, okay?
Oh, okay, got it.
That's recreation.
Yeah, but you're flipping in between the real working show.
Yes, I go between, like, the Today Show and The White Shadow. I watch news.
That is work.
Oh,
I watch the news, and then I watch The White Shadow.
We have to be informed in this job.
And, honey, for the record, I just want this for the record. The dancing started not with me, but the dancing started with you and with him.
Yes, but I only danced one dance. And you turned into Denny Terrio.
Who is the celebrity that he most resembles? I don't think that we've ever gotten a physical description of him.
Why'd you ask my wife that?
Frida, who is it Gary, the British guy?
Yeah.
Who is the celebrity that Gary most resembles?
Maybe Russell Crowe.
Really?
Oh, please.
Really?
Russell Crowe on Mars.
Is he a ruggedly good-looking kind of guy?
He is a nice-looking man.
In your wife's voice, when I hearing her speak about this gentleman, she just had a little tone that sounds like there might be an attraction.
Oh, there obviously is an attraction there.
And I didn't know that until this very moment. So you think in your eyes, he's a little Russell Crowe-like?
Well, by the time they got there, which was about 10:30, yes. Russell Crowe at that point.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're crazy about the guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. Right, right.
You could take him into your chamber.
Let me say that. I've at least kept my distance. I've kept some respectability. I haven't danced lewdly with
That's
him.
Right. You've done, now that I've, so he is a good-looking guy, huh?
Well, yes, Mike. Yes, he is. God, he's so dreamy. She's freaking beautiful. All right, sweetie.
All right, my boo-boo. I love you.
I love you, too.
And for the record,
yes,
I only had to go to the grocery store, not because I believed the forecast. I was not panicked.
Oh, yes, you were?
No, I had to go to the grocery store because I knew the grocery store would only get more jammed as the day went on. And it was right, because I got there before 9, and it wasn't that bad. But by the time I was in the checkout line, it was the lines were all the way into the aisles.
Right, it was crazy. And you were panicked. Don't worry about it. There's nothing to be ashamed about saying you were panicked.
You are the one who is glued to the TV panicking all day, not me.
No. You were glued. You were glued and you were panicked.
Sugar Bear, I say to you, why do you believe them? Because you're the first one to complain, but you're the first one to believe them.
I've made that analogy. I'm guilty of that. I'm a lemming.
We both do that.
I'm a lemming.
Why do we complain so much?
Because of my history with men, I don't trust them intrinsically. So a weatherman is just another form of a man, and I don't believe him.
Sue Palka's not going to like hearing that.
Yeah, well, I don't see her as much.
Sue Palka's a man. I got news for you. And do you want to talk about your doctor thing?
No, I
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
It's no big deal. It happens during menopause. Your periods are regular. I'm going to get it checked out, but I just don't, you know, you don't have to go into every little thing.
Okay, well, you know.
Thank you for asking me on the air.
Two major periods in 2 weeks.
Thank you for bringing it up.
And it's a lot.
I think I said to you, this is just between me and you. Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Love you.
I did too.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Little tense at home.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Little tense.
That time of year.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it's that time of month again.
But it is that time of the year.
But I said to her, you know, wasn't it just 2 weeks ago?
Do I love the fact that it's March? Because we're on the verge.
We're close.
We're on the verge of getting out of this. The doldrums that have been more doldy than they've ever been before.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, good afternoon. I got a couple questions for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all.
Yeah, trouble.
First of all, you could take Bob Ryan's job when he retires because you go back and forth. I think that Ken's probably had such a bug up his butt because you said you were going to tape him and he wouldn't even know it. So, of course, he's not going to let loose like you thought he was when you had him set up for being a complete tight ass by the time he got there.
This started with Bob Ryan, yeah. and it was all...
I don't know. Because you're
duplicitous. You're saying one thing on the show, saying how, no, you're kidding, you're not kidding. And then...
Yeah, of course. I said that to make Ken feel uncomfortable.
Well, you definitely succeeded. It sounds like he was had to bring over a lot of paperwork to fluff your ego and make you happy there.
Your trouble.
Yes, yeah. Okay. What else can I do for you?
Well, of course, people are going to go to the store and buy... Once they buy all those, you know, eggs and milk and bread, they're going to have to get a lot of toilet.
He's trouble.
Tell me
you can't say the S word.
Trouble.
I knew inside of his third word he was trouble.
You can't say, the guy's, you know, genius on the phone here, says you buy bread and milk, of course, you're going to S.
Anybody else besides me ever call you trouble, pal?
Not as often as I'd like, but they call me it every now and then.
Right. Okay. All right, gotcha. Goodbye. Good Hello, job. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I'm in Burlington, Vermont.
Yes, hi.
And we have feet. Just 2 feet, almost 2 feet of snow already.
You all show off, do you really?
Yeah, I wish that we had the same weather forecast as you guys had because, boy, ours called it right.
Really?
You know, I know I'm not going to get back into the whole weather thing, but I'm so tired of our weather forecasters saying, but if you live up in Maine or in Bangor, Maine or in Portland, Maine, Caribou, Maine. We don't live there. We like the weather forecast here for Washington, D.C.
So Burlington's getting socked.
Oh, we're getting sacked big time. I'm driving around in it all day. I'm a courier, and, well, it's been tough.
Right, and so you've got 2 feet on the ground already?
Yeah, it's about 2 feet on the ground, but the roads are not quite as bad, but they're horrible.
And how much are you supposed to get when it's all over?
Oh, boy, I don't even know. I think they said about 2 feet, so hopefully it should stop. But it's still still snowing, so I guess it shows you ours aren't that great either.
I'd love to live a place like that.
I mean, just where they actually get the weather right.
Yeah, but you'd hate it up there because it really does get... You get so tired of all the little things that go along with it. It gets crazy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, Channel 8 has taken up on your idea about the weather forecasters. They've got a thing on right now, Do You Trust the Weather Forecasters? And they have a number, and they actually have your friend Doug Hill on the air right now.
Channel 8?
Channel 8,
News Channel 8 on the cable.
Does Hill work for them, too?
Well, they're a sister station to Channel 7.
The number they have is 703-912-1430, and it's Do You Trust your Forecasters?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope people are voting no.
I don't know if it's a... I don't know exactly. I think you can call in and ask Doug Hill questions. That seems to be what's happening now. There's a...
Buzz, are you watching it? What are they doing?
I am, and right now a lady is saying, it's not just this time, it's all the other times you were wrong.
Turn it up, let me hear it. Can you do that? Here we go. Let's listen to Buzz's TV.
And those children looking for it better have the surprising element in it, like we did years ago when you saw, there it is, how beautiful.
I will agree with you, and I will retire from the business if you will pay for my four kids' college education.
That's a good line.
The thing is, Rita, for instance, in tropical storms, hurricanes, people used to die. Why? Because of the element of surprise. Now
shut up.
Jesus Christ. Out in advance where the storm is and which way it's heading, and you get people the heck out of the way. I don't know. I think this element of surprise business may be overrated, Doug.
What is that,
You know what happens?
He's outside. The anger is outside.
Pandemic throughout the television meteorology business. is there's it's just natural that you want to pin it down. It's not that you want to be the first one to pin down the amounts, but you feel you have an obligation to the viewers that you have all the technology at your disposal.
He's in major
control.
Give me a headache.
Or whatever station you're for, the folks watch you, that they rely on you.
Imagine poor Doug Heldo. He comes in and they say, you got to go on Channel 8 right now. Right. You got to take live phone calls from angry viewers.
What's left of his boxer shorts or somewhere up in his small intestine.
But predictable. Many times this happens. And I think what we want to do, and I think what happens, and happened in this case, is if you saw some folks putting precipitation maps out on Friday saying we're going to get this many inches and this many inches, and then on Saturday they had to trim it back and say, well, we'll only get this many inches. That's one of the problems is, as a forecaster, if you jump too soon and you start calling for snowfall amounts, you get those expectations
up. But he did it, though.
And then people were very disappointed when it doesn't come to pass. I think, really, and again, I'm just speaking for this time, although there are a lot of snowstorms. The blizzard of 66, we nailed that one. I was very happy with that.
66? Oh, my God.
Hey, listen, we're all human.
Did he really just hear? Did I just hear?
Yeah.
Did he just say?
We did nail the blizzard of 66. They went 35 years ago.
There you go. You can't improve on that.
Elements of how you relate to storms. Maybe
back in 1855.
God damn.
I believe I was pretty accurate on that forecast.
Disappointed. But I think there's a mistake. It's the mistake of trying to rush too quickly. It's almost, here's the thing.
Hey, at least they're dealing with it. I give Doug Hill credit. You know, they're talking about it.
In trouble for doing that. And whether if you try to pin it down and call for accumulations before the storm even forms.
All right. Well, I've heard enough of that. Thank you, Buzz. Well, you heard Doug Hill's great response. He did call one correctly in 1966.
Back in 66, I remember there was a storm I got right. Yep, all the other weather forecasts were calling for sunny and 70.
That's the one he can fall back on.
Back in 66.
35 yep. years ago he got
wow.
one right.
Back when I was doing it with the peace sign t-shirt and the bell bottom.
I love Don and Mike show. Hello? Oh, what am I doing here? Line 6. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, you know, hold on a second. No, I don't know what's doing. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, I just heard you right now. The only thing better than beating Buzz to a scoop is correcting Rob A. on something he said.
Uh-oh, Rob, better stand up. Somebody's correcting you.
Yeah. He's wrong about the vice president thing. What happens is...
Wait a minute, wait. Rob, I don't believe Rob said anything about the vice president. When I was talking about secession.
If Cheney...
Succession.
Crossed. Right. What happens is that if the vice president goes away, he gets replaced by someone and has to be approved by Congress, which is what happened with Gerald Ford.
Yeah, but
so,
no one automatically...
So Rob A. was wrong.
But no one steps into the position automatically, right? I mean, it's
Hello?
Not like someone moves up into it,
Hello?
Right?
I didn't hear you.
Huh?
Say it again, Rob.
Yeah, but in
it's
fairness
like
to you, in fairness, you made it sound to me when I was listening to you like they didn't have the position. Like obviously, you just have a president. You know, I was wondering what happens, and I guess if they do appoint somebody, does that mean George W. Bush will appoint somebody,
and then
it's almost like a cabinet appointee?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Bush appoints him, and then he gets approved by Congress.
Well, then I miscommunicated. I'm sorry. I just said there's no one that actually automatically steps up. It's not like the couch on the Tonight Show.
Okay.
All right. Thank you,
George Goebel.
Bye bye.
Our president, Doc Severinsen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey guys.
Hi.
I think Doug Hill meant 96. Doesn't make him any better, but I don't think the guy's old enough to have been forecasting in 66.
I think you're right about that.
Maybe so.
Hello. 96. Yeah, I bet it was. Because there was a blizzard in 96.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Pete from Baltimore.
Hi, Pete.
How are you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
I was listening to you guys talking about how the weathermen really messed things up. And
yes.
Just screwed everything up, and that's how I really feel about Mike's impression of Jesse Jackson.
Oh, come on.
Get out of here. I'm over that. I'm over that, you son of a bitch.
Get out of here.
I'm over that.
Get out of here. We'll be right back, okay?
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Vegas was a place where millions of suckers flew in every year on their own nickel and left behind about $1 billion. But at night, you couldn't see the desert that surrounds Las Vegas. But it's in the desert where lots of the town's problems are solved.
Got a lot of holes in the desert, and a lot of problems are buried in those holes. Except you gotta do it right. I mean, you got to have the hole already dug before you show up with a package in the truck. Otherwise, you're talking about half hour, 45 minutes to dig it. And who knows who's going to be coming along in that time. Before you know it, you got to dig a few more holes. You could be here all night.
They love to screw until they're tired and sore. Don and Mike.
We sure do. Now, we've not even talked about the Sopranos yet. We will in a moment. Including Rob Spiewak's appearance on the pre-Soprano show last night.
Was Rob in there?
Yes, he was.
Oh, man, I came into it late because... Didn't see it.
Big giant head. But we got a guy on the phone now, a guy who used to listen to the show all the time.
Okay.
Who's an author. His name is John Max, and he's written a book called Forget About It.
Forget About It.
Okay? So let's see what he's up to. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing fine. Now, this book, were you in the mob? Are you writing about the mob? Is it a comedy book? Is it a serious book?
It's a comedy book. It's but it's got the purpose of this. I mean, guys, so many of the young people today, they go into these high-tech companies, the dot-com companies, they go to eToys. 2 months later, they're out of the job. They're laid off. It's a kind of a how to join the mob because it's the one place in the world where you got a job for life.
So it's an instructional book, yeah, is what it is.
Think of it as a mob for dummies type. As opposed to mob for wise guys, it's kind of a mob. But the idea is to take people and to teach them fashion, how to act like a mobster, walk, talk, dress like a mobster, so that they can really get a job with an organization that really is going to take care of them for... again, the 3 to 5 months that they...
I would imagine that somebody that's writing an instructional book on how to get involved would have to have some very keen insights. Perhaps those insights have been developed through your own experiences?
Well, I grew up in Philly, and then I worked for Congress. So in both cases, you're dealing with a lot of criminals.
In this book, Forget About It, he has the entire section, I love lists.
Right.
Words and phrases that indicate a sexual act or body part, and these are all... Mob language.
Mob lingo.
Stooping, you've heard of that, of course.
That's, of course, doing it, effing.
Right. Entering the Lincoln Tunnel.
What is that? Is that another one for...
That's effing.
Okay.
Going down like an internet stock. Dining al fresco. Meeting Mr. Lansky. Illegally paving the interstate. Having a little antipasta. Tenderizing some beef. Giving it the old FBI, a friggin' big instrument, playing hide the pepperoni, eating clams casino,
yeah.
Cigar dipping, Coppola in a field, uncorking the bat, here's a good one, spray painting with DNA.
Oh, little tribute to our president.
clothing the garlic, carrying heat. Okay, now here's another list. Mob words and phrases that indicate killing someone.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've heard, of course, whack job.
Whacked.
Visiting the landfill, making fertilizer, going on a lead diet, playing catch with a lead baseball, getting reservations at the dining room in hell, kissing the cement. Now, what's this one? NFLing them.
Well, because so many of our NFL stars are involved in murders.
NFLing.
All right. Ending their smoking problem.
My personal favorite, guys.
Yeah.
Performing involuntary non-elective surgery. That, and the great thing about mob phrases is you can carry in a mob conversation using any of these phrases, because all mob conversations are pretty much about either dining, eating, or killing someone. And generally it's about sex and killing someone while you're eating in a restaurant.
Now, have you actually talked to any mobsters since this book has been out?
No, Simon & Schuster keeps moving me around, so I'm protected.
Have you always wanted to be a gangster? Is that why this book was born?
I think we all, kind of admire them. I think that's why the mob plays such a great part in our culture. I mean, all the great mob movies, the great mob TV shows, and I think all of us kind of admire the fact that these guys are getting away with murder, literally, and they're having a good time, and they're eating well, and they're having a nice life. I think you all kind of admire it. And again, growing up in Philly, you grow up with a lot of guys that end up, going into the mob.
Yeah, Nicky Scarfo ran that time.
There's so many guys back there.
Yeah.
So it is a goofy book that, I can see, obviously. Let me see how many pages. It's only 110 pages.
I like your picture on the back cover, though. That's, was it your idea to have it taken like a mugshot?
Well, as I was walking over there, they set up the thing with the photographer, and the photographer starts doing one of these supermodel things. It looks pouty. smile. He said, give me your website. And I said, wait a second. I said, I got a better idea. This is a mob book. I said, let's just do it the way it should be. Front, left, right.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Now, listen, you also, do you currently write for Jay Leno, or is this, what, are you one of the guys who just faxes him jokes?
No, I'm a staff writer. I've been a staff writer. I moved from Washington, guys, in 1992 and started with Jay when he took over the show. I actually left D.C. to become a comedy writer.
Now, you hear about his work ethic and his work schedule, where after the show, everybody goes back to his house for the big writing session. Is that still true?
Yeah, it's the way he does it is, you know, we're writing all day. And then, you know, we actually, most of the writers actually have it, our group has it easy because we're still faxing to him at night. But he and Jimmy Brogan and a few other comedian friends of him are up till 2, 3 in the morning putting together the monologue for the next day.
Is it true that, like, anybody with a joke can fax it to Jay Leno, and if he uses it, he'll pay you, like, $75?
Well, I don't know what the current thing is, but I started actually as a freelancer. I was a political consultant in Washington. And this was before he took over the show, so this was back in 92, 91. And I was freelancing jokes, sending in jokes to him. And when he'd use it, he'd send me, you know, a check for $50. And then one day out of the blue, he calls and goes, you know, how'd you like to come out here? I'm taking over the show in May. How'd you like to be a staff writer?
Wow. And what is it? I mean, that process, I've always been fascinated by that. You know, you see a bit of it on the Larry Sanders show, but that process, is it just a bunch of guys in a room throwing things out and seeing what sticks to the wall?
Well, it's two groups. The ones that work on the bits, you know, in the sketches, they tend to be more like you see in Larry Sanders and more like you see in, you know, the old Dick Van Dyke show.
Are you responsible for Iron Jay?
We all write for everything.
Okay.
So you have a hand in Iron Jay?
Yep. One of the writers for that. Yeah, I haven't done it for a while, actually.
Who came up with the jaywalking?
That was his idea.
That was Jay.
Okay. It just, you know, so much from being, you know, a stand-up, he just knows the reactions you get when, you know, you play a little bit with the audience.
So you're saying the guys that do the bits kind of just sit around and throw out stuff, but you don't do that?
I'm more of a monologue writer. So essentially what I'm doing is sitting in my room with the TV on, you know, and reading newspapers and clips and writing about 100 jokes a day.
100 jokes a day. Of those 100 jokes, how many does Jay use in one day?
If I get on out of those 100, if I get on 2, it's a great night.
Now, do you still only get paid $50 a joke, or are you
no,
on...
No, I'm a staff writer.
All right, are you writing for him today?
Actually, you know, believe it or not, guys, this is one of the few weeks of the year we're on hiatus. I mean, he's out working somewhere, but we're on hiatus.
God, I thought he never took a vacation. Now, what...
No, he's not on vacation. He's out doing his stand-up, and he's out doing a variety of stuff. He's actually, the vacations are for us.
So you'd be writing a lot of Dick Cheney stuff now that he's been readmitted to the hospital, right?
Yeah, that's all we'd be doing.
What is the last joke you wrote for Jay that he used on the show?
Whatever it was last Friday night. And you know something, guys? It all just blurs. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess 100 jokes a day.
It all blurs.
Do you have any, though, that you remember that you're proud of?
I think probably one of my favorite ones was just from a few years ago, which was when Ross Perot was out and he was running for president, and he said he had his ears to the ground and he was listening. You know, he was listening out there for all the voices telling him to run. And I said, yeah, this is a guy that listens to 35 different voices in his head every day.
And that got on the air?
Yeah, just, okay. You know, I'm writing every day for that. I'm doing the Oscars again this year, which is fun, too.
So you'll write for the whoever's hosting the Oscars? Martin,
yeah, I do, you know.
I thought that big queer does that. Bruce
is actually a great friend of mine, and Bruce actually brought me in this year to write, Brett. I've written for Billy Crystal for 3 years and for Whoopi. And
it's a pretty tight little group, isn't it? It's a close-knit club.
Yeah, it's. I mean, in the sense of, you know, you have to. I mean, have been. You know, you have to watch enough Oscar shows to know what works and what doesn't work. And I was lucky enough that when Billy brought me in, Crystal in '97 to do it, and he kept bringing me back, and then Whoopi did, and this year Steve Martin called.
Take no offense at this, but tell me, I watch the Oscars every year.
Mm-hmm.
What works?
Because there is some stuff that works, but
I can't think off the top of my head, other than the stuff with Billy Crystal putting himself in the movies.
I want to ask him a question, because I think I know what works from watching that show, because I watch it every year, and I watch almost all of it. What works really is recent jokes about the stars that are nominated. I mean, stuff, if there's a major controversy, like you get a Billy Bob Thornton and an Angelina Jolie joke, that would probably work because they're sitting in the third row.
Will you write a joke for Steve Martin about Meg Ryan and, what's his name, the Gladiator?
Russell Crowe.
I mean, I write, you know, Steve obviously does the picking, but we write jokes about everything. And then they that. The difference is, for example, Billy, when he would put on the show, obviously, when he was the host, he would do the clips, he would do the song medley, he would do, you know, a monologue. Whereas, you know, Steve has a variety of other things planned, and, you know, I write, you know, he pretty much outlines what he wants, and we all write for that.
This could be, I mean, for Steve Martin, could be kind of a, I mean, I know he's been very successful with other endeavors, but this could be kind of a comeback for him if it was overwhelmingly successful, right?
I mean, I think he's going to be a great host.
What does he want? I mean, have you talked to him? I mean,
yes, I mean, we meet a couple times a week.
Hey, you know what you should tell him? Seriously, if you're writing for him, if you do speak to him, tell him to come out there with an arrow through his head.
A possibility.
Okay. Yeah, I think that might just.
And I always thought the napkin trick.
Yeah, yeah.
He would just hold a napkin up in front of his face and,
right,
and stick his tongue through it.
Sure.
Slayed me every time. It really did. That's when he was funny. I mean,
right,
not that he's not funny now.
Mm. Yeah, but.
But he's not.
Right.
But he's not. What does Steve want on the Oscars this year? You've had meetings with him.
Actually, as I tell everyone, we have to wait till that night.
Oh, really? Come on, can't you just give us...
Nope, guys, sorry, can't go into it.
You can't give us an overview of what... Is there anything he doesn't want?
No, it's, you know, he's like, you know, he's all, like all, you know, great comics. He wants to see everything, and then he'll use that to build his monologue together.
Well, it's got to be a fun thing to do. I would imagine it's a pretty, quite a bit of pressure, I would imagine. Well, I guess maybe not a lot of pressure, though. If 2 jokes out of 100 is a great night, then, you know, I mean, you just throw them all out there and you hope that they use a few of them, right?
Yeah, every day I'm rejected 98% of the time.
So you probably get used
to that.
It's
like my dating life, you know what I mean?
Listen, how involved is Jay Leno with David Letterman? I mean, how much does he think about the Letterman show? Because it's obvious that Letterman is thinking about Leno because Letterman's like goofing on Leno on his show now.
Jay, you know something? Jay's theory, you know, Jay just puts on his own show. And that's like when he asked me, you know, what was your favorite joke from Friday? The one thing Jay's always worked with us on is this. It's the idea of you put on this show, you leave the studio that night, you show up the next day, and you got another show to do. And that's all he cares about. He cares about the next show. I mean, he's never mentioned anything. We don't talk about other shows. Everything is just, what are we doing tonight?
Does Jay Leno give expensive gifts at the holidays?
Jay is about the best boss you could ever have.
What did you get for Christmas last year?
Just a very nice thing for me.
Come on. Please tell us. What did you get from Jay Leno?
As I always said, you know, unlike...
Oh, he got a car.
Under subpoena.
He got a car.
No, come on. What'd you get? What'd you get? A motorcycle, a car, a portable DVD? What'd you get?
Paperweight.
It was better than a paperweight, and it was short of a motorcycle. There you go.
Okay. Was it... Just tell us this. Was it worth over $10,000?
It was... Is it bigger than... Where does it see that one? Is it bigger than a bread box?
Bigger than a bread box. Worth under $10,000.
So it was under 10 grand?
I'm not going to go into it, but it was a very nice gift, as he's a very generous.
Has Jay ever hit on you?
No.
Okay, just check.
I'll tell you, Mike got me a very nice leather jacket for Christmas.
Green Bay Packers leather jacket.
Set him back some dough.
Absolutely.
That I know. So come on, I got no problem talking, but what did Jay get you for Christmas? Why is it a state secret?
As we say, the book is called Forget About It by Simon & Schuster.
Forget About It.
Well, we're going to give you plenty of plugs for your book.
I know.
But really, we're just curious. You work for Jay Leno. What did he get you for Christmas?
He got a very nice gift.
What did he get you?
Well, I'll tell you one thing he did. You know, my wife was in the hospital a few years ago. He ended up flying her back from Las Vegas to make sure she was taken care of, getting her admitted here in a hospital. Picked it all up, took care of everything, and made sure she was taken care of when we had a family emergency.
First class?
He took care of everything. He's, you know,
private jet?
He's the best boss you can have.
Was it a private jet or commercial?
All the questions. As they say, guys, the book is called Forget About It.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right. Thanks for being on. Bye.
Jesus Christ. Well, you know, look at Leno's monologue.
Right. Okay, right. Well, the book is Forget About It, and...
Yeah, these aren't state secrets. Give me a break.
You know, I heard that the guy was a fan of this show, that he had listened to us. And,
yeah, I mean, come on, we're just having fun.
Leno. I mean, Jesus, what is the problem with saying Jay Leno got me a TV?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno got me a car. You know,
I don't get it.
Jay Leno got me a BJ, bought me a hooker.
I mean, you can say it in a bit, or come up with a funny line about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Comedy Writer.
Or just give us, a ballpark figure. I think, who wouldn't be interested to know if Jay Leno's such a great charitable guy?
Right.
How much did he pay? And it was a valid question. If he took care of your wife when there was this traveling, did you fly first class? Was it a private jet? Was it a commercial jet?
Sure.
Come on, these are valid questions.
Just having a little fun.
All right, we're trying. Remember, he's a comedy writer.
Right.
Oh. Right. He's a comedy writer. We try.
I'm talking about the book. We're fascinated by that line of work. You know, just we're inquisitive. We're curious.
Right. But, I mean, frankly, we might try to talk about what Jay Leno was like.
Right.
You know, I like the concept of anybody faxing Jay Leno a
joke
for $50.
You asked that question, right? The guy comes back to you and he said, I mean, really, just a little comedy lesson for him if he's doing that. You asked that question. He said, seriously, a Ferrari. And you say, no, seriously, a Ferrari.
Yeah, right.
And then you say, okay, forget it. You know, that's the way you do it. But no, hey, I'd rather not get into it, Hey, I'm serious. You're a comedy writer!
Jay's a great guy. All right, well, you know, if you got to start a fire, the name of the book is Forget About It.
There you go.
And the guy's name is John Mack.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
There he is.
It was funny.
That's the reason we watch Letterman.
That Ross Perot joke, really, it slayed
right.
me.
Yeah. I'm still falling on the floor thinking about that one.
There you go.
Hey, as a matter of fact, it's been a long time. How about a good old book burn? Oh, come on. I know we're not allowed to burn stuff, but how about I just set it on fire in here, and then you guys take it to the other room?
I can't be a party of that.
You can't be a party to that.
Oh, it's always rules.
What happened to the good old days when we actually, when we'd have an author on the show piss us off, we'd be able to burn the book?
Burn the book. Yeah, it's over here, Charlie.
Could I just set it on fire, and then you can run out of here with it so as not to break any of these great infinity rules? Oh, the guy was kind of a dick.
Yes.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Oh, you guys, where's the book? I want to burn it.
You tricked me. You deliberately embarrassed me in front of a comedy writer.
I wanted to burn the book. All right, and Broyhill took it out of here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just don't, you know.
It's already jaywalking.
Yeah, and you know, see, what that makes me wonder is maybe Jay gave him something like a towel. Yeah.
Right, could be.
Maybe it's like that movie Scrooge. You ever see the movie with Bill Murray, Scrooge?
I gave him a really big towel.
Where he's the head of a network.
Right.
And he either is going to give people a beach towel or a VCR.
Sure.
And he's going down the list, and the girl says to him, what about your brother? Give him the beach towel.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I'd love to get a Letterman writer on. I really, really would. Because
yeah.
You know what they're doing? And they're not disappointing. They're using that guy, Alan Coulter, again.
Oh, yeah, the announcer guy.
Which is starting to make me laugh. They're almost using him like three times a week, and I love it.
And I bet you ask them, what did Letterman get you for Christmas? Nothing.
Zip.
Right. He wants a funny show.
Right. He got us nothing. He didn't yell at us this week. Funny.
Doesn't want to be friends.
You know, that's the problem. That's the problem.
And, you know, I don't doubt that Jay Leno, after a show, goes, hey, good, let's think about the next one. You know what Letterman does? This is what all the great performers do. Letterman sits in a room
and broods
and says, I suck. It was awful tonight.
That's what he does.
Don't come talk to me. I put on an awful show. That's why he's still good.
Please. So true.
Okay, time out. Oh, I got to get the taste of that interview out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, back.
Yeah,
what did Jay get you? Hey, guys, I can't tell you.
Yeah, how about that book? We'll forget about it.
Yes, we will. He should be a TV weatherman, that guy should. Jesus. He's pathetic. I'm sorry about that interview. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show. It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Miss Bobby to tell you more.
Okay, tomorrow, the Don and Mike family packs their bags and heads to Frederick, Maryland. Experience the magic of Exhale Nightclub, 244 South Jefferson Street. Doors open at 6. The show starts at 9. There's no cover. You gotta be 21 to get in. Call 301-698-9226 for more information.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
See you in the club.
Don't miss it.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's time to squat and take a growler.
Right.
It's time for Don and Mike.
Big show tomorrow night.
Oh, boy, up in Frederick.
Underwear fashion show, Humbo Joe Challenge. Tom Gavin Challenge. Mr. 40 will be there. Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Yeah.
The underwear fashion show. Our Carol Burnett like Q&A answer session.
All right.
And me and Mike are buying the first drink for everybody.
Yeehaw!
Tomorrow night at Club Exhale in Fredneck, Maryland.
I don't do that as well as you do, Rob. We will hit the stage at 9 tomorrow night. Don't cost nothing to get in. Love to see you. Now, slight change in plans. Told during the break that, in fact, Jay Leno would like to speak to us.
Oh, my.
Hold on. Let me get the number here.
Oh, this is exciting. Very exciting.
Because his writer, frankly, was a dud guest.
Yeah.
John Max.
Let's see what happens.
So I have a number to get Jay Leno, wherever he is. He's not doing the Tonight Show this week.
Right.
Perhaps I misdialed.
Doesn't seem to be ringing.
Hold on.
I mean, I don't hear it ringing out there in California.
He knows you're calling?
Yeah.
They've told him you're calling?
Yeah. I just told him myself about 4 minutes ago.
Oh, good.
I said, I'll be calling you, Jay.
Hello?
There he is.
Hi, who's it?
Jay, Don Geronimo.
Oh, they told me. Hi, Don. They told me you were calling. I wasn't sure when you were going to call, but, you know, just here getting ready, doing a little pre-show. I'm here at the studios, at the NBC studios in Burbank, getting ready for a big show, big-time show. What can I do for you, Don?
We just had one of your writers on, John Max.
John who?
John Max.
John Max. Wait a minute. Hold on just a second. Let me...
The guy claims that,
John Max. I'm looking to... John Max. I don't have any writers by that name. Are you sure he said he was affiliated with this show?
Said that he was on your writing staff, that the last really funny joke he wrote for you was something about Ross Perot's ears.
Oh, well, Ross Perot, well, that's timely. let me spell the last name for me, please.
Was it M-A-X?
M-A-C-K-S. Oh, John Max.
John Max.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, he's on the show. He's one of our junior writers, and, he doesn't do a lot. It's just, occasionally he'll put some jokes on the air, but we usually get, he writes about 100 jokes a day and submits them, and out of that, I probably use 2 every 3 years. Because he's really not funny.
Why do you keep him on your staff, then?
I'm a loyal guy. I'm a nice guy. I really take the time to treat everybody I can. Everybody gets a little something extra from the J-Man. No, it's just I'm loyal to guys like that. And he's been a good friend, and he used to fax me jokes, and I brought him out here. And I'm not going to cut him loose, I'm paying him $225 a week. And I really have no need to send him packing when he's potentially he's going to hit his stride, and he's going to be a good contributor.
He mentioned that you're a very generous guy.
I'm extremely generous, Don. One of the most generous guys in the world.
What did you get your writer, John Marks?
Oh, I keep a record of that.
For Christmas last year, because he wouldn't tell us like it was some friggin' state secret.
Yeah, John Max.
Is
it Marks or Max?
It's Max.
I got it. M-A-C-K-S.
I've got the records of all the gifts. I have to give away a lot of gifts because I'm Jay Leno, host of the Tonight Show. Nobody's poor boy here. Hold on just a second. Page 4, gifts. Christmas gifts? Was it a Christmas gift?
Yes, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa,
hold
whatever.
Hold on a second here. Okay, junior writers. Now, I got him a Far Side calendar. A lovely Far Side calendar, and I hope he enjoys it. Some of the senior writers actually got a lovely pen and paper set, a lovely little pen thing that they can have set on their desk, but the junior writers got a Far Side calendar, and I actually have it going back 3 years. The year before that, junior writers got... Let me see. A calendar? I'm not sure what kind it was.
Was it the stacked and packed calendar?
It might have been. I'm not sure what the name was. And hold on a second. The year before that, the junior writers got Jay Leno Tonight Show ball caps. I didn't pay for those. Guilty as charged. No problem. We got a big week, though. Let me tell you something right now. A big week on Tonight Show. Brad Pitt will be joining me. It's going to be a big week. Get three. Brad Pitt. Mr. Jennifer Aniston will be on the show on Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And let's see if old Mr. Richard, I can't get a joke on the air, can come up with something for that. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I thought you said you were in repeats this week.
Pardon me?
I thought he said you were in repeat this week.
No, we're live. We're live on the air this week. It's going to be a big week. Brad Pitt's going to be here.
Are you sure?
A tremendous lineup of fantastic guests.
Yeah, hold on.
You check the lineup on the Tonight Show this week. You'll see it's brand new things. We've got brand new fresh shows.
No, USA Today says the Tonight Show with Jay Leno rerun. And the guy, your writer, who was just on, said that it's a rerun tonight.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me see. You got today's USA Today?
Right.
Yeah. I'm doing a show tonight.
It loves the word.
I'm doing a show tonight. No, Okay. Why did I come in? I guess I'll have to take my classic Bentley and drive back out to my mansion because I'm sitting here at the NBC studios in Burbank. That's why this building's so empty. Jennifer Lopez will be our special repeat guest, as I see here. See, I was just reading it. Brad Pitt later on in the week. All highlights, all the kind of stuff you come to enjoy, yet to read, including those stupid girls that everybody likes. The stupid girls on Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Maybe tonight you can go home and trim your wife's mustache.
Oh, man, Maris, yes, sir. I'll tell you right now, she's got a heavy one. Yes, sir. And that's not the only part of her that's hairy. But I can't say that on the air, no. I like to keep it, you know, above board. I like to hire guys that are clean and guys that especially don't say what I got them for Christmas. That's the kind of writer I want to have on my show. I like guys, and especially Richard Marks. He's a real talented guy.
John Marks.
John Marks. Well, can I tell you something honestly, Don? We're talking as friends here.
Yeah.
You know, we get the writers to come back to my house with me, do the post-mortem, and then they come out to my house. We write till 4 o'clock in the morning. Then we've got the other losers who sit by a fax machine and hopefully get two jokes on the air a year. That's the way that works, and that's what that guy is. But I heard he wrote some kind of silly Sopranos book.
It's a book called Forget About It.
Oh, I got a copy of it. Yeah, I thumbed through it. Not funny.
We just burned ours.
Yeah, oh, good. Still burning books. Way to go. That's that kind of progressive thinking that'll get you a little something extra in your envelope this week.
And listen, maybe you could straighten something else out for us.
I'll straighten you out. No problem, Doc.
He mentioned that there was some illness in his family with his wife or something, and that you graciously took care of the accommodations. And we were curious. The airplane you supplied, was it a private jet?
No.
Okay. Commercial.
Sort of.
What was it?
It was a FedEx plane.
What do you mean, a FedEx plane?
Air shipping plane. A friend of mine was actually a military transport.
Cargo.
It was a C-130. C-130 cargo plane. You can never be too cheap. You know, it's NBC. We're not made of money around here. Yeah, but, you know, got it back to California. You know, everything's fine. Everything's really good. That's great.
He must be very afraid of you because he was afraid to tell us that you...
He should be afraid of me. I'll tell you that right now. I have one standing order. A standing order for all the people that work on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. The standing order goes as follows. I will be a great boss to work for, and that's the line. You use that line. He's the greatest boss I've ever worked for. That's the line they're supposed to say in interviews. Also, anything that transpires between Jay and you, it stays in the building and it stays between us. So don't go sharing all the information. So they have to be very tight-lipped when they do interviews. If they're going to be associated with Tonight Show, you better damn well believe they've got to keep it on a QT. That's my word. I don't want people knowing what kind of car I'm buying next week.
What kind of car are you buying next week?
I'm buying a Bugatti convertible that's going to knock your socks off. I'll tell you right now. And I've got 17 Ferraris, 452 Mercedes-Benz, all in one big Jay Leno garage. And I tinker with them. I actually have mechanics that are more skilled, but I tinker with them all the time. You know, it's being, I tell you, it's on Easy Street if you're Jay Leno right now.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how about that George W. Bush? In the card?
You know who I've been really fond of recently?
Who's that?
Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Dave Letterman.
Oh.
Oh, holy yes. He's really been funny recently.
I gotta go.
Oh, Jay.
Wow.
He's gone.
Wow.
Ran him off.
You said the magic thing.
He's gone.
You said the magic thing.
Dave Letterman. He's afraid of Dave Letterman.
He is so mad at you right now.
Call him back.
You know you're not. That was part of the rule. You said if you're going to call Jay, you don't mention him.
Very sensitive about
I didn't
that.
Know he had so many rules. Hold on. I'll call him back and apologize.
He hates because it's an inferiority thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe everybody should know that.
We call him back.
See if he answers.
See if I dialed the right number. I believe I did.
Hello?
Jay. Jay, it's Don again.
I don't want to talk to you.
Hey, come on. Are you mad?
You brought him? Why did you have to bring him up? You're talking to me and you're talking... You know, why'd you have to do that, man? It was not necessary. We were having a nice interview and you have to talk about... You have to bring, you know, him up. And I, you know, don't say his name, please. Don't say his name. I know you're going to say it again, but I don't just... It's not necessary for you to bring that up. I, you know, we've gone by that. Every time you talk to Jay, you don't have to mention Dave, you know?
You just brought his name up.
I know, but you brought it up the first time. I wasn't the first one that brought it up.
Aren't you still beating him in the ratings?
Yeah, but, you know, it's... It kills me, man. It kills me just to hear his name. Because everybody knows he's so much hipper than I am. But he's got such better writers.
Well, yeah, as evidenced by John Marks.
He's got that goofy redheaded guy now that he's using. And I've got that...
The announcer.
I've got that bug-eyed pretty boy, you know, with the Prince Valiant haircut. And, you know, and he's got Paul Schaefer, who's been, you know, on Saturday Night Live and all those good things. I've got Kevin Matthews, who's just over there and just sits there and goes, funny day, you know. It's just killing me. It's ripping me up. And then the first thing you said, I watch Dave Letterman. Don, you got to know how much that hurts. You know how much I respect you and your program.
All right, let me give you a chance to get back at him.
All right.
He does, and he's done in recent weeks, an impression of you on his show. Would you like to do an impression of him now?
Yeah, sure.
Would you like to make fun of DL right now?
Yeah, I can do that right now.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Hi, this is David Letterman. What do you think?
Well, don't you have any more? I mean, when he does you, he does the whole big, hi, this is Jay Leno. He does the whole big whining thing.
Yeah, I'm not a really good impressionist.
Neither is he.
Hold on. Paul? That's great, Paul. What's our top 10 list tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, boy, I tell you, I'm losing weight. boy, the scar from my recent surgery to repair my heart valves is really itching. I don't want to play this game anymore.
You know, the top 10 list is still a pretty funny bit. You still doing that dumb Iron J thing?
Hey, wait a minute. I stand by Iron J. That's a fantastic bit. You know, I wear the headband and it makes my jaw look even bigger than it is. Don't you think that's funny?
No.
I think that's a stand-up bit. That's a fantastic... You like jaywalking, though, don't you? You like jaywalking?
I'll tell you why I like jaywalking.
Yeah? Why do you like jaywalking?
It reminds me of the Letterman show. It does.
You know, why do you have to be so cruel?
It does. Have you seen the bits where Letterman...
Haven't I been a friend? Haven't I come on your show whenever you call me and you ask me about this writer, Richard Marks? And, you know, and I tell you what he did. He's a junior writer and stuff like that. Why do you have to hurt me like this? Why do you have to be so cool? I'm going to go down to my garage and tinker with my cars.
Well, that was... Come on, be a man, Jay. Stand up.
I'm going to go ride my Harley Davidson.
Stand up for yourself.
I hate these times. Can I tell you that? Can I be honest with you?
Why?
I knew we were in repeats this week. It's just really killing me. I like to work. I hate being home with Marist. I hate it. It really drives me nuts. I don't want any vacations. They don't understand this. It's not because I don't want time off. It's just I'm a loser. I don't want to be away from this. I don't exist being away from this. I can't stand it. You know, I envy Johnny because Johnny go play his tennis and he play his drums and he go off to nice exotic locations and he chase women. I don't do any of that. All I do is go home in my garage.
Why do all you...
vacations.
Why do all you guys still beat off to Johnny?
Johnny's the greatest. He's a god. He's a god. How did you know that? How did you know I do that? I got a publicity photo of him that is really getting a little dog-eared. DNA dog-eared. I don't mind telling you right now. Johnny's God. Johnny's God. Repeat after me, Don. Come on, I'm going to terminate this interview.
All right, Johnny is God.
Johnny is God.
Let me ask you this.
Yes?
Has Johnny ever been on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno?
Back in the days of Helen and Kushnick, we did not feel it would be appropriate for me to act as though Johnny...
He's dead.
...was passing the baton.
He's dead.
You think I should have Johnny on?
I don't think he'd go on. You know, he goes on Letterman's show. Did you know that?
Got him again.
You're just killing me.
Even when Letterman went to CBS, he's been on the show since Letterman has been on CBS, I think.
Yes.
Well, that's it. I'm going to get Ed. I'm going to have Ed McMahon on. When we come back, just to talk bad about Johnny. And I'm tired of you talking about Letterman.
Wait, hold on. Why would you talk bad about Johnny? You just told me you beat off to his photos.
You just told me that he only goes on Letterman's show. You told me he just goes on Letterman's show. Why do you have to share that crap with me like I need to? I'm on vacation. I'm supposed to be having a good time. I don't want to be in his office anymore.
Listen, why don't you relax? Why don't you just unbuckle your pants and look at the picture of Johnny?
I got it right here on my desk.
And just do whatever comes natural.
Okay. It takes a while.
Okay.
All right, just give me a minute.
All right.
All right, I got to put the phone down. Hi, Johnny.
I don't know why the guy beats off to Johnny.
They love him.
Oh, I wonder what year.
I can't be on my phone. Hold on, let me try some more. Hold on.
I wonder what year the photo's from. What era Johnny it was.
68.
Was it Johnny in the plaid coat? Johnny going kind of gray? Johnny totally gray? Johnny with the monkey taking the pee on him?
Hi-yo!
Oh, dear.
Oh, man. I'm going to use this T-shirt to sop it up. I got to go.
All right, Jay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Jay.
Amazingly, that's what I do. I use a T-shirt also.
Amazing. Jay.
He's beating his meat on the toilet. To do a picture, to picture Johnny Carson.
Johnny.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, and there you heard. John Marks, the junior writer, received the Far Side calendar.
He did.
That's what he got.
What a great gift.
And his wife flew on the, what was the plane?
A C-130 military transport.
That's it. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Uncle Jim, could you say hi to Don and Mike?
Don and Mike, yes. They're related to you?
They're my bosses.
Oh, okay. Don and Mike, we miss you guys. I wish you were here so you can pay this guy his salary.
Are you going to listen to him from now on WNEW?
I'd love to. Oh, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I love those guys. We had a great time. We talked.
Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know, could fill a book.
Oh, for you.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah. There he is.
We watched it last night.
Everybody watched it last night.
Sopranos. I tell you, I liked it.
And it too. I loved it.
I've talked to a lot of people today who are late to the party, who hadn't watched The Sopranos until like halfway through last year when they became cool to watch.
Right, right.
And a lot of people, well, even me to an extent, I was disappointed that there was no gratuitous violence, that there was no
real mob stuff.
Yeah, but I realize what they're doing.
Setting up the whole season.
Yeah, right. I realize why it took the whole first hour to set up the FBI guys putting the bugs in Tony's house, because A, the FBI guys are all going to be regular characters this year.
And it was fascinating to watch that process. I mean, I was riveted by that, mm-hmm. because I felt as though that's what makes this show so incredible, is that you really think that's the way it happens, that it happens like that.
Yeah, you know, not only do they show how effed up and funny the mobster side is.
Right.
They're equally showing how effed up and funny the FBI side
exactly.
is.
Well, you have the scene, you know, where they're all looking at his water heater and they're laughing and they zoom in and they say, it's going to break. And then they go away, and when the thing does break, they have no clue.
Right. Yeah. There's been some emergency in the family.
Can't they imagine. Are so completely clueless. It's hysterical.
However, the part with...
Oh, for you.
Listen, that's the part.
Yeah,
I could have done without.
Same here.
They could have offed the mother without doing the phony scenes where Tony's talking to the woman in the wig.
It was painful. No matter how well they did, and I'm sure they did the best job they could, it was obvious, and it really was painful to watch.
It seems to me you could have chopped that part out of the show and just had Tony come home and have Carm say to him,
yeah, you could. Yeah.
Your mother's dead.
Yeah, absolutely you could.
But, you know, they decided to do that. They obviously had to write her out of the show because
right.
she's dead.
I also think Janice, although I like to hate her on the show, I think she jumped back in a little too quickly. I think she jumped back into, I'm going to be living in the house just a little too quickly, yeah. especially when she was saying, you know, she obviously has another life out there where they called her from to come to the funeral, and I didn't understand where immediately she was going to move back into the house.
But I was telling Frieda, we were watching, you know what I like? I like the little subtleties. I like Paulie Walnuts discussing why he was washing his hands.
Oh, hysterical.
Because when you go in the urinal that you get pee on your shoelaces.
Right, exactly.
Furio is my absolute favorite. The guy gets one freaking line a show.
And it's hysterical with the 25% of Survivor.
Right.
Yeah, you put a gun to his face, you say, hey, you give me 25%, and I'll show you a survivor.
Yeah, hear my life.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Furio Giunta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
I have a question about that Furio line. Did you notice that right as he delivered that, when Tony shut the door, there was a reflection of Big Pussy in the mirror?
Big Pussy in the mirror.
Wow. Yes. Oh, my God. I didn't see that.
Yeah, and I had to double-check it because when I thought I saw it when I was at the premiere, and I wasn't sure I saw it, and I had to double-check in the episode. And Big Pussy gets a credit after
yes,
that episode.
Yes, he does. And we've...
So we're going to be having, like, okay, wait a minute. And then the little creaking sound when AJ's upstairs.
Right, when he comes down, it says Grandma. Now,
and Grandma...
Haunting.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Big Pussy's dead, though.
Right.
I mean, there's
yeah,
no
but,
doubt,
but it might be a legitimate haunting.
Right, there's no doubt that Tony, like, fired five bullets and they pushed his body over the side of the boat.
How did you guys see that? I didn't. Yeah.
Did you see it the first time around?
Clear as a bell. Mm. When Tony opens the door to the left, Tony's standing off in the background, and it's a giant mirror on the back of the door, and just standing there looking at them is Big Pussy.
Wow.
I said immediately to Frida, hey, look, it's Big Pussy.
Wow.
And she saw it, too.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was a great moment on the show.
That that's in the second part, right?
Yes, during the whole thing for Mama Soprano.
Very cool.
Meadow's ass has not gotten any smaller.
No, but I like the whole plot line of her being in Columbia University. It's very cool.
And even though I'm a big Christopher hater, I laughed my ass off last night when Christopher was high, sitting on the couch, when Janice was doing that ridiculous thing about tell us what you think about
right,
mom,
right.
And Christopher, obviously stoned out of his mind, well, you saw him getting stoned, started doing his whole rap about fingerprints, man, and what it all means, and it was, I don't know if he really was high when he was doing the scene.
It was very, very funny.
But it was just great.
And I found the whole thing from the very beginning to the very end riveting, and even with an ending that was kind of like a little soft, it was still fantastic.
Now, this is what I was telling people today who hadn't seen the show before and watched the last couple. They said, hey, it wasn't that great. And I said, no. You got to give them time.
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing now is starting to build the layers
yes.
on which the Sopranos will get better as the year goes on. It's the same thing they've done the last 2 years, and we have not been Johnny-come-latelys on this. We have watched The Sopranos since the first week it came on.
Well, I remember when you turned us all onto this show, and then we all immediately became hooked, and anybody that watches the show gets hooked on it. And it is layering, and it is how they build the foundation of the plot, which shows you how important the writing is. I mean, it's an incredibly well-written... It's such brilliant writing. It's better writing than you get on the rest of television.
Hey, and lots of Artie Bucco last night. Also,
yeah, Artie Bucco, yes.
Really pissed off at Tony.
Very upset because having a little flashbacks of Mama Soprano telling them that Tony blew up his restaurant.
Great.
They all had their little pieces there. The only warning I would issue to them would be, I like to hate Janice, but I also find myself when Janice gets a lot of camera time that I just get a little over it, you know?
You know, I wish they would work Tony's other sister in a little.
Yeah, I do, too. And with Janice, she has created such a great character that's so loathsome that sometimes I just like, okay, enough. It was a little different with Richie Aprile because, you know, Richie had that danger element. With Janice, you know, she's not really a threat. She's just there being a pain in the ass,
but
and I get kind of tired of her.
You know, maybe they're doing that on purpose, though. Maybe Tony, 3 or 4 more episodes from now, is really going to get pissed off.
Well, I don't know. It is... You know, he's in that whole family thing. It's his sister, but we'll have to wait and see. It looks like the next week's episode, they're really going to start getting into the real mob stuff.
Right? And they did have a little violence last night when the guy from The Matrix, the guy who took Richie's place,
right?
When they went to the guy's house and beat him up with baseball bats.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Tony said no more fires.
And that's a great character. I think that's Joe Pantalantonio, Joe Pants or whatever they call him. He's a good addition to that cast.
Except what's up with that wig he's wearing?
They're very odd, isn't it? That strange hair that he's got, the hairdo.
And you know, and like I said, I thought Christopher came around last night. Stevie Van Zandt's the only guy that I still can't get into.
You know what? And Stevie Van Zandt ought to just dial it down. It looks like he's even tweaked it up more than he has in the years past, you know? When he's sitting there watching the golf and he's got the... It's almost too much, you know? It's really too much.
But the show's the best when I was sitting there laughing. And Frida said to me, why are you laughing? Just in the many scenes when Tony walks down his driveway.
Yes, with his big piece of paper. Yeah.
Robe and his wife beat her on to get the newspaper. She said, what's funny about that? I said,
it's hysterical.
It's not.
It's so real.
It's not a comedy funny, but it...
Right.
It's funny.
It's hysterical. And you know, and it looks like it would happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about that show. It's fantastic. And AJ, you know, he's growing up, but he's funny. He's still funny.
Baby Bing.
Baby Bing.
Baby Bing.
Mama Bing.
Baby Bing has gone into
Mrs.
school.
Bing.
And
Mrs.
Princess Bing.
Princess Bing.
Princess Bing. Princess Bing.
Right. And, you know...
Oh. And listen, When Tony was talking to Meadow's new boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
I, he used the word that I said to Frida, I have not heard for 35 years.
Right.
A word that my grandfather used to use.
A derogatory word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I only know a little bit of Italian from my grandfather, like, you know, your bots in the gagoozza.
Right, right.
Well, as soon as he said that word, I said to Frida, hey, I remember, hey, this great tribute to my grandfather.
Really?
I remember that word being used in my house, and then right after that, Tony called the guy a charcoal briquette.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, the thing is,
Jesus,
that's a plot line I don't think is going to go away real quick. I think because I don't think this guy's going away, this character. And
no, and Karma's right. The more that... that Tony fights it,
yeah, absolutely.
The more Meadow's going to want to hook up with him.
And, you know, and of course, a good Tony passing out scene, too, as he hits the deck.
Yeah.
Boy, strong, well-written show.
Excellent.
Really. I mean, it's very movie-like, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little different. It had a different feel to it this time.
And the music mix of Peter Gunn and Every Breath You Take was
beautifully done.
Fantastic.
Beautifully
and
done.
And I'm never aware of music as much as I was last night when they were doing that.
I agree.
It was awesome.
You know what? Just another small thing that I liked. When the first episode was over, you didn't have the credits.
Yes.
You didn't have all the crap in between.
Right.
It was first episode over, says black screen, episode two,
right.
Boom, right to it.
Right. And Mama Soprano's funeral. I mean, really,
however,
really funny.
You missed the best part.
Yep.
Okay. 10 till 9 last night. We were getting Bart ready for bed. We were going through the whole argument with him about you are going to have school tomorrow. There's going to be no snow. Frida was setting up the big screen so she and I could watch The Sopranos. And phone rings. I pick it up and it's Rob. And he says, are you watching? I said, no, it doesn't come on for 10 minutes. He says, I was just on. And I say, really? He said, they're interviewing Peter Bogdanovich.
Right.
And... you could see the back of my head in the interview from the party that Rob went to. And I said, oh, I'm sorry I missed it. Okay. Frida comes in and says, who was on the phone? I said, it was Rob. Says he was just on TV. So now we settle down, and we're watching this the last 5 minutes of the Sopranos party, and they do another interview.
Right.
And this time... it's Rob from the front, and Rob's talking with his dad. I see his dad.
Right.
And then I see Rob, and Rob laughs, and his, you think his head is gigantic.
Right.
His gigantic mouth.
He unhinges his jaw for the laugh.
I mean, Rob was on screen for 10 seconds. Now, you had to know who Rob was.
And you had to know to be looking for him.
Well, he was directly behind whoever they were interviewing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay attention. You got to look him back at Peter Bogdanovich, because I was looking at Peter Bogdanovich, and I didn't see it.
Well, the first time that Rob was on, they just had the back of his head.
Right.
And you could identify Rob from the gigantic head.
The cranium.
But the second time was... come on, Rob. The second time was the funniest, right? When you are just sitting there unhinging your jaw, gigantic, big mouth, wide open.
I get a phone call at about 1/4 of. This is how the chain is working, and it's
right.
Just laughter. And I said, who? And it's my dad. He said,
yeah.
We were just on. I said, well, how are we on? He said, well, I could see your flat head. And you could, just from the back, you can see I've got a pretty noticeable haircut from
right,
the back.
Right.
And then there was a couple more shots of just my flat head. And then on the fourth time, it's really a full face shot of me just looking like a mental patient.
Standing right in back of Peter Bogdanovich.
I was there the whole time, and I told my dad, I said, if I had known that was an HBO camera, I would have tried much harder.
Yeah, right, right,
but
exactly.
No,
but that was freaking funny.
You didn't see the mic stick? You're a big mic
fan. I didn't know what Duff was, who she was interviewing for.
Oh, really?
And I was really,
had the HBO on her microphone.
Wasn't even paying attention. We were at that time for the best shot, is right before it started, my dad and I were talking to Furio. And
right.
We were waiting to get to Peter Bogdanovich. We were there the whole time.
Oh, that's
so it was
great.
Very funny.
It was really funny. And both Frida and I saw Rob with his giant mouth, his big head. I immediately hit the speed dial, and Rob knew it was me right away.
Right.
Hi, did you see me? I just told Carrie you'd be calling.
I bet you Don is dialing right now.
Yeah.
We were all laughing. It was a great moment for me. I liked it.
It was almost better than anything I saw in the show.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Well, they did that advanced stuff, and I'm glad I got it on tape, so I'll go back and look at
it. I'll go watch it, because you'll laugh your ass off.
Especially, I got the very very last part of that pre-show.
That's where you see Rob,
that's where he's on.
From the front, at 4 minutes until 9, because you know they had the little countdown clock in the corner.
Exactly.
That's when you see Rob.
Excellent.
Gigantic.
The big head.
Big head. Hello.
The big giant head.
Don and Mike show. Hello. All right. Let me try this one. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Yes, hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Right.
This is your number one eggplant listener. Forget about it. Listen, the thing I love about that show is it's the small little details that tell so much about character. Like the way Uncle Junior walked over and practically grabbed Tony's son's face and twisted it off. It's just so much about the motivation of the character. You know what I mean?
Now, they're really, you know, they not only have those great actors, but I was saying that to my wife last night, the show's extremely well directed, too. The actors get a lot of great direction.
And just get my reference about the eggplant listener.
The eggplant listener.
Well, no, I get, now see, I know that from a Will Smith movie.
Okay.
You ever see Enemy of the State?
Yes.
Okay. Will Smith is sitting down with some mobsters, and they call him a, what do they call him? They call him like a shyster lawyer.
Right.
And he says, I believe that is the reference for a Jewish lawyer.
Right.
He says, I believe, Will Smith says, I believe if you're going to put me down, the proper put down would be to call me an eggplant.
Oh, now I get it. Okay. I get it.
All right, got you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
See you later. Hello, Enemy of the State. That's the movie with Will Smith. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
How you doing? This is Bill from Waldorf.
Yes.
You are my savior. I was watching The Sopranos last night. I am the only one. We had a Sopranos party. I'm the only one that saw a big pussy in the mirror.
It was very evident. If you have it on tape, Mike, go back and watch it tonight. You don't even have to freeze frame it to see where big pussy is.
Right.
I mean, he's just clear as can be, just standing there.
And do you think that squeaky sound that AJ heard when everybody was out of the house will be a big pussy haunting?
Yeah, it had to be, because obviously they're not going to bring the mom back anymore.
Right, right.
I mean, they did
they can't bring her back, but obviously big pussy's in the cast again, so you're going to see him again. Great.
They did all the Disney tricks they could last night.
A little haunting on The Sopranos. Cool. Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, I just want to see if you guys saw what I saw last night during the second episode.
What?
Just when everybody went to the great room to talk about the mother, they showed behind Tony the staircase going to the upstairs, and somebody was climbing the staircase in the background.
Yeah, yeah, an old guy, right?
Yeah, I saw that too.
And it almost looked like Uncle June.
Junior? It wasn't Uncle June, because Uncle June wasn't there because he's still under house arrest.
Man, are they going to be doing that this year? Can we look forward to that where they're going to have that weird stuff going on?
I thought it was a joke because, you know, he was going up the steps right as Janice started
and
doing
he kinda
something.
He leaned back towards the room, right?
Something that Janice was doing that no one wanted to be a part of. And I thought it was just a joke that this person didn't want to be there.
Junior was in the room.
But my father,
I thought it was Junior too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My father theorized, do you remember last season that they talked about the third brother that was retarded? Junior and Johnny Soprano's brother?
Yeah.
That's who my dad thinks it is. He thinks it's the ghost of third Soprano
if
brother.
They bring the retarded brother in,
flashback.
This is very cool. The Sopranos house is going to be haunted.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I love it.
Don, Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, great, thanks.
Hey, do you think that Christopher's girlfriend's going to go lesbo with that
test teacher? Absolutely. Oh.
That is another great, great plot twist.
Yeah, the tennis instructor has the hots for, what's her name? I forgot what her character's name.
Corey Whore Whore.
Christopher's girlfriend.
You know that is
Cunny
so
Cun Cun. When she's wearing those outfits to play tennis, and the FBI guy's checking her out.
Her name is Adriana. Adriana. Call her. Aid. Hey, Aid.
And there's nothing like having a big cigarette right before you're going to play that round of tennis. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Did you notice he directed the second episode?
Yeah. Yeah, Dick Van Patten's brother.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. The other thing is, I think the old guy, was coming down the steps, not up the steps. And I definitely thought it was kind of...
Turn around.
He came down and turned around?
And came back up, that's right. But did you notice the old woman in the wheelchair? That was like a total...
Yeah, that was weird, too. I mean, she came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And the one woman who was the friend of the mom.
Yeah, and she'd always call me when somebody was in the hospital or had died.
But she wasn't in the scene when they all walked in.
Oh, all right.
Floated down. She was not seen.
You know what? If they're doing this, more power to them. I mean, really, how brilliant is that?
This is probably what they want. They want this.
Fantastic.
Stupid disc jockeys to talk about this with the stupid listeners.
I'll be watching it differently the next time I watch it, too. My eyes will be a little wider.
Analyzing every frame of the stupid show.
Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike. Radio guys. How are you?
We're great, thank you.
A couple things. The one thing about going back to the guy coming down the steps, you know who I thought it was the... guy that now has one of the captains that have turned, and I was thinking maybe he was planning a mic upstairs for the FBI at that point in time.
Oh, you mean the guy who Tony and the other guy killed his brother? You mean that guy?
No, the guy somewhere in the middle of number two, the FBI guy comes into the car and It's one of the captains from the New York side, not Johnny Sack, but the other one. And he's talking about wiring himself for the funeral. That's how the FBI found out about the funeral.
Yeah, that's somebody else, too. That's an older guy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, how about when Tony was singing Dirty Work by Steely Dan?
Yeah, that's that good, too.
Yeah,
that was a good moment.
When they used the phrase, was it Moulin Young?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Thank you. Hello?
Hello. All right, goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, it's... I think you guys must have watched a different show than what I watched. That was one of the most boring Sopranos I've ever seen.
How many have you watched? You watched all of them?
From the beginning, from day one.
You know, when we're counting one episode, we're counting two, really. The first part and the second part. You didn't like, which part didn't you like?
Oh, the whole thing. Put it this way. During the first season, my wife and I used to have sex during the show. I couldn't even keep her awake this time.
Why would you have sex during The Sopranos?
Because the whole thing with the mop and the gun, she finds a turn on.
Well, you're a pervert. You're a pervert. The Sopranos is one show where you can actually watch.
I don't get it. I mean, I was riveted. I think if you're a fan of the show, the way they set everything up with that lamp down in the basement, I thought it was fantastic.
For a whole hour.
I know. That's what I loved about it. They had the balls to take the time with it.
Did you notice that the bug was in the lamp? Because they only showed it to you 35 times during the hour.
Okay, listen, that what they were doing was showing you how meticulous the FBI is.
And you know, you had to do it for the hour because it gave you the sense of the frustration level of the FBI and how long sometimes it takes for them to do that kind of stuff with an investigation.
You had maybe 10 minutes of good show in that first hour. And did you notice,
listen,
you know, at the beginning...
No way.
You know what you are? You're the uneducated Sopranos fan. I'm sorry.
From the beginning, I've been watching it.
No, you've not been watching from the beginning.
You'd love that show. It's fantastic.
Awesome.
And you really do have to get an appreciation for what they go through to get
there. You've got
to
look at the big picture. I guarantee you that 2 or 3 weeks from now, they're going to have an episode where nothing but guys getting whacked, nothing but violence.
That'll be great. That'll be like the first season where everything happened. Do you watch the show Oz on HBO?
No.
You should watch that one. 10 people get killed, 100
I want to tell you something.
Per hour.
Listen, no one likes gratuitous violence more than me. But if The Sopranos every week was just somebody getting killed and they take the body to the butcher shop...
Wouldn't be believable.
After a while, I would lose interest in.
That's what I liked about the episode, the first episode. It had such total credibility. I mean, it really, to me... seemed like that's how they'd get a guy. And I've always been curious about that because I'm a real aficionado of all things about the mafia, books and everything else and movies. And I said, man, I bet it's that painstaking, and I bet they do that much man work to get a bug installed in one of the houses.
And you just got to have the patience to think that the guy who's putting the show on is smart enough to know that the audience is smart enough to say, okay, you sit through the first episode, the second episode, maybe the third episode. Let me show you what I'm going to try to do this year.
And you know what I love now is the stuff that I'm not even aware of. I mean, talking about it, this whole idea of a haunting in Tony Soprano's house is fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I don't know about the haunting, but check this out. Here's a theory. He went in the hallway and he's like, Grandma, I think... the bug was interfering with his radio. Because remember when his radio was on, he was in his study, and she came in and she turned it down.
Well, what is he talking about? I'm not following at all.
Okay, what's up? When Junior, Anthony Junior came out in the hallway, and he heard the squeaking, he was like, Grandma.
He didn't go out in the hallway. He did it, I guess, after he heard the squeaking of the foot. He did that after the fact.
Right. But he heard his... I'm thinking that has to be the bug interfering with the radio.
No. The bugs are in the basement.
Yeah. He heard a creak.
And the radio was off. Remember, Meadow turned the radio off so he could read Robert Effing Frost.
Right. They didn't bug AJ's room. They put the bugs in the basement because that's where Tony goes with the guys to talk because the air conditioners make so much noise.
Right, but I'm saying if the bug was on and he had...
One?
Okay. She turned the radio down or she turned it off.
No.
We don't know.
No. Listen. Jeez, I can't believe I'm explaining this. AJ was trying to figure out Robert Frost.
Right.
Meadow was going to help him.
Right.
Meadow, like anyone who's over the age of 14, said,
what she said to herself was, to get him to hear what I'm saying, I'm going to have to turn this incredibly loud music off.
Oh, she did it with a remote.
Don't you follow that?
I follow that, but I just don't agree with the haunting thing. I still think that was a bug.
Well, wait a minute. Well, you don't agree with the haunting. What do you do? What do you say about seeing Big Pussy in the mirror?
This is the problem when a show like The Sopranos becomes popular, because now too many dumb people are getting into it.
That'll ruin it.
Hey, I've been watching since episode one.
Oh, please. You have
episode
not.
Episode one.
You have not. Well, okay. What was the main focus of episode one?
I couldn't tell you that.
Give me one. I can tell you off the top of my head. What was the main focus of episode one? A real Sopranos fan would know this.
Establishing Tony as the big boss.
Wrong, douchebag! The main establishing premise of the first episode of The Sopranos was Tony and the ducks in his pool.
Boy, you know, when you say that, it makes me realize it really hasn't been on that long, has it?
3 years.
It really hasn't been on that
Three
long.
3 years.
Was that episode number one?
It was.
I have watched it from the beginning.
And that symbolizes everything that's going on.
And Tony passing out, too.
In Tony's life.
And Tony getting the heebie-jeebies.
Right.
Yeah, where he goes out.
But it all comes back.
That's why Tony's going to go see the psychiatrist, and that starts the whole premise of the show.
Hey, now that I love. Mm-hmm. When he said, hey, I'm glad she's dead.
Yeah, we're done, right? Right.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, therapy's over, Mom's dead.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what was the guy's name? Little black kid. Noah Tannenbaum. Did y'all talk about him yet?
Yeah, we mentioned that. We mentioned that with
Meadows' boyfriend, yeah.
Damn, well, I'm going to try to be a better listener. Goodbye.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, one more call on this. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Did you notice that... I might have missed it when they turned me over to the from my radio to the phone, but little Tony has a lamp just like the lamp that they bugged down in the basement. Was that already mentioned?
You mean AJ?
I didn't notice that.
I don't know if it means anything.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Now this is turning into a Beatles album now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
I think we could all agree.
Run it backwards and say, I buried Tony.
All I know is it's great to have a show on that's not Temptation Island or Survivor. Mm-hmm. A show you can really look forward to watching every week.
Yeah, that you can actually, you know, sit down and, you know, get the whole family together and then watch it. My 5-year-old, my 3-year-old.
No, oh, that's right. One more call. Woman who says she knows who the woman in the wheelchair was.
Hi. Yeah, the woman in the wheelchair was the woman who Livia ran over the first season. When she dropped her off, she ran over her accidentally.
Oh, you're right.
Here's a better viewer than you. I can't believe we got a better viewer than you.
You're right. I remember it now that you say it. You're right.
And the old guy, I think the guy was going back up the stairs. He was coming down, and then he saw what was happening, and he went back up the stairs because of what Janice wanted to do.
Could it have been Uncle June? Is it a possibility? No?
He didn't look like it. I don't think he's also welcomed in the house very much, but I think he's only allowed to go to the funeral and not to the house itself.
Yeah, Uncle June is still under house arrest, and he got a special waiver to go to the funeral, so he couldn't go to Tony's.
And if I remember correctly, he was kind of a ghost-like figure, right? I mean, he was never in focus. Almost like that Nosferatu guy.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
A good pull on that, on the broad who old lady Soprano ran over.
That is, absolutely.
Yeah, because I remember that. That was a great episode. Right out in the driveway.
Fantastic. Well, we're all agreed, and most of us are agreed. There were a couple of calls here, but I mean, I dug it. I really did.
Good. Right. We liked it, Tony.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike. Yeah, we liked it. We liked it fine. Secret song right now. Secret song number 7. Worth $500.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Tony. Be the 100th caller. Now you get a shot at the dough at 877-365-3636. Dial recklessly. Be the 100th caller. Good luck.
Number 1, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Never trust a female, Delmer. Remember that one simple precept, and your time with me will not have been ill-spent. Okay, Herbert. Truth means nothing to a woman, Delmer. Trying for the subjective. Believe me, Delmer. Woman is the most fiendish instrument of torture ever devised to bedevil the days of man.
Herbert,
I never figured you were a painter for news.
Oh, yes. I have spread my feet.
I love that movie.
Even better than Sex and Steak. It's Don and Mike.
From Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? George Clooney.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring the video cassette home tonight so Frida can watch it.
And then I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Thank you. I'd like to see it.
But you can check it out.
Call 100 time right now. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Yes. I'm calling for the 100th caller.
Yes, that's you. Hi, what's your name, my friend?
My name is Ken.
Ken?
Yes.
Ken, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Catharpin, Virginia.
Beautiful. Ken?
Oh, listen, St. Patrick's Day right around the corner.
Oh, yeah, sure, me gonna.
You want a box of Lucky Charms cereal? Hey.
Lucky Charms, magically delicious.
Happy St. Patrick's Day from General Mills.
Well, thank you.
Now, you ready to go for the big bucks?
Sure.
You know, something tells me that we've got a very special contestant on the line right now.
I believe so. I feel good. It's very complicated.
Have you heard the secret sound, the secret song?
No, not at this point I haven't.
The new one?
First time.
You've not heard Song 7?
No, not yet.
All right, then I'm going to... And you know, I only do this once or twice during the entire contest run.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a gag.
Oh, dear.
This is not a stunt.
Management beginning to get nervous.
By saying this, I mean this. If you name the secret song now, you will win not $500, not $5,000, but $50,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Outstanding.
$50,000.
That's exciting. Man, oh, man, how are you going to pay for it?
I ask you not. $50,000 if you can identify this secret song we're about to pay you.
Are you confident, sir?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
All right.
Oh, God.
Well, hey, you know.
Don't worry about it, sir.
Right?
What?
Only time will tell, right?
Yes. Only time will tell. $50,000. I'd like that known to the world right now. If this man can identify the secret song, he will win $50,000. The prize is only $500, but I feel so confident that he's not going to win.
Very good.
That I'm going to offer you $50,000.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, you get it. You win the money. We need title and artist. Please don't answer till Mike says like.
Luciano Pavarotti.
And we wish you
Godspeed. Caller, name this secret song.
Now, think very carefully about it.
Feeling religious now.
Because it's worth $50,000, which will not be paid by Main Street Title.
Ave Maria.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now I am a high-stakes gambler. And if you do happen to win, your room and your meals comes for $50,000. And possibly my resignation if you get it right. Give me a title and artist.
Led Zeppelin, Kashmir.
See, I should have gone $500,000. I knew it. I knew I had the right guy on the line.
Zeppelin, Kashmir.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
No, thank you. And don't forget that almost every guest
is a clue for you.
Clue for you. And every once in a while, we get that special listener when I just know.
That's right.
I know that I've got 21.
There you go.
And I'm going to win. Even if somehow
you're playing with the house's money,
the dealer comes up, the dealer's going to have to stick on 20.
It's a gamble, though.
It sure is.
Because you never know. You never know why he's calling. You never know. That might be his area of expertise.
No, I don't think so. But there you go. We'll do it again very soon. Something that happened today. Oh, I know that we like giving guys plenty of upfront notice. Guys, you'll want to get out your beach towels right now.
Absolutely.
You'll want to take your phones and busy them up. You will want to get out your hand lotion because it's time to ask Lisa about her time in the tanning bed today.
You have it on good authority that she did visit the tanning salon over the weekend?
Asked her before the show. trying to get nice and brown for our Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night at Exhale in Fredneck, Maryland.
Very good.
Let's welcome her in now. She's wearing, incidentally, an outfit selected by Buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Buzz, you picked that out?
She told you. I
well, it's Buzz's favorite shirt.
Hope you like it.
Oh, there it is.
The XOXO shirt.
Yeah, it's kind of like a clingy T-shirt with the middle
kind of cut down low. Exactly. A little low cut on the front.
Howdy, Lisa.
Hi, guys.
You look like you're Tanner.
Yeah, I feel like I look Tanner. Yeah, I went tanning today.
Mm-hmm. All right, tell us about it.
Well, you know, same thing happens every time I go there. I get the special lotion. I get a different one every time. I like to try them all out.
So, oh, and I'd like to just point out, how do you tan? In a bathing suit?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I tan in the nude.
How do you tan?
I tan in the nude.
You tan how?
I put lotion all over my body, and I get into the tanning bed, and I am completely naked.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Please continue.
So I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, I would love it if Don and Mike were here with me.
I guarantee you there wouldn't be room in that booth for all of us.
That's for sure.
So I
That's too much lotion, too.
So I told you that I would have a surprise for you.
Yeah?
It's kind of, you know, corny or whatever. It didn't really work, but as I'm laying there completely in the nude in the bed,
yes.
You guys were there with me.
How were we?
On my stomach, you can see a little bit. It says Dawn right here.
Right. Oh, you know what? I can't read that.
Then it says N, and right here it says Mike.
Oh, look at that. Oh. Right above her her place.
Oh, bravo.
And, you know, right above the line where her belt goes.
Fantastic job.
Right there, right between her belly button and her most intimate of areas.
Boy, that is something, isn't
she
it?
She indeed did tan in Don and Mike.
Pretty incredible.
Good and job. You do look like you're getting a little tanner.
Yeah, more so than the
and
red.
Your face looks tanner.
Yeah, more. Before I was a little, you know, burnt.
I should say more tan. Tanner is not accurate.
That's correct.
Right.
That'd be Lucas Tanner.
Lucas Tanner.
Starring David Hartman.
Proper name, but not the right word for the circumstances.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask, how's your cleavage?
Oh, my cleavage. Actually, that looks a little red. You can see here.
Still getting red there. Yeah.
I can see. And notice the trick that she does where she pushes.
Yeah,
her,
and it looks a little red.
You may have to put more lotion on that.
Puts her finger on the cleavage.
Buzz with the advice.
I'll show you how red it is. How long are you planning on going to the tanning place?
You know, up until it gets shorts and short sleeves. Whatever.
So you're going to be a regular tanner? Is that what it is?
I think so, a couple times a week.
Okay. I know that the bulk of our listening audience will be happy to hear that.
Are you going tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Great. That means we'll be able to have another installment of Lisa Goes Tanning on tomorrow's episode.
Yay!
And
fantastic.
The all-new tanned Lisa will be coming with us to the Las Vegas style show tomorrow night.
Wow. Absolutely.
Is Charlie Broyhill impressed with your tanning?
Charlie,
would you like to say something?
Charlie,
you work back there with Lisa every day.
She'd have a better tan, but part of the problem is that when I'm laying on top of her while she's tanning,
blocks the light.
All right. Coverage.
Get out of here.
The second time today. And he's used that same stupid joke.
I know.
I told him not to tell anybody, but he guesses out.
It's like the guy thinks he has a funny joke, and he said it off the air, and nobody laughed.
He thinks he's hysterically funny. It's very, very sad.
He does. Well, thank you for the update.
Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. You know, I think what we might do in the future, hey, Lisa, how would you feel about this? If we just got a digital camera and took a picture of your arm or maybe a real close-up of your cleavage, just some of the reddest areas, and put them up on a web page.
That's fine.
Very good.
Great. Okay.
Good. Something for the boys to look at.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Well, there's today's update for you members of the Beach Style Club.
Bravo.
Lisa indeed did go to the tanning bed today.
Not as blotchy as she was the last time.
No. Yeah, but as Buzz said, please, more lotion.
More lotion and trying a variety of different lotions.
Oh, and Buzz, I can't believe I didn't ask you this.
What?
How did your big two-man show with Rob Spiewak go on Friday night?
It was a lot of fun. We met a lot of nice people, as a matter of fact.
The big appearance. Well, maybe...
Nostalgias.
Maybe in the next break we'll get some calls from people who actually attended the debut of the Robin Buzz Las Vegas-style show.
Perhaps we will. I do want to tell you, Tom Gavin was there, as promised.
Of course.
Cheryl the Big Dyke was there, and our friend Ryder was there.
Oh,
showed up. Very pleased to see him last night. And, of course, Stacey, the foul-mouthed account executive, was there as well.
Stacey Bridges.
Yeah,
oh,
she was there,
so
too.
A good turnout.
Yeah, right? Not bad.
And did you play your crazy dirty games?
Well, really only one. You know, we took it easy. It was a mellow evening, I think. Oh, also, I met not only Lisa was there, but Lisa and her sisters. Lisa has lovely sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's a trio of lovely young ladies.
Really? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I'm calling from New York, so I can't hear you guys live.
Hey, listen, tell us something.
Yes.
As we're doing the show now, just after 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Is it snowing there yet?
Yes, it is. In fact, it's gotten worse since it's earlier in the day, like from 3 o'clock on. It's
very icy. We're gonna sound like idiots when the show comes on at 7 o'clock.
But why is that?
There's not a real accumulation, though, is there in New York?
Well, no. Basically, you know what it looks like? Like a big ice skating rink.
Yeah, okay. So they didn't get the snowstorm.
No. We're just getting a lot of sleet and ice around.
So let me ask you a question. If we sign on, when we broadcast at 7 o'clock, we start talking about how we're yelling at forecasters that we didn't get this blizzard we were supposed to get. We're not going to sound like idiots, are we?
No, you're not.
Okay.
Because it's really not coming down as hard as they were predicting.
Okay.
I have one more question. Did you guys see The Sopranos?
Yeah, we just got done doing a whole wrap on it.
Okay, I mean, like I said, I didn't hear you guys, but I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of slow. How about you guys?
We loved it. We absolutely loved it. You're the second person that we've talked to, though, that didn't like it.
You have to give it a chance because they're building layers now that you're going to be happy with later in the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How much snow currently would you estimate in Midtown Manhattan?
Okay, in Midtown Manhattan, I'd say we got about an inch and a half right now.
Oh, well, then we won't look like idiots.
Yeah, because they were supposed to get like a foot of snow, too.
Easy by this time.
Are the people of New York as mad as we are at our weathermen?
Yeah, because I work in a store and everyone keep complaining. Well, we went to the grocery store, we took the stuff, picked up the salt and shovels and all that stuff, and they're upset at the supermarket owners. They think they all have something to do with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who is the New York weatherman that you would like to hit over the head with a shovel?
Lee Goldberg, because I think he's a queer.
What channel is he on?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Take care, fellas.
Right, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, good. Well, so we won't sound like dopes when the show's rebroadcast tonight on WNEW.
And Buzz, I know this clarification will be good for you because I think he was saying he wanted to hit him over the forehead with a shovel because of the weather forecasting, not because he was a queer.
Oh, I would hope that would be the
right. There you go.
I interpreted it the other way, Mike.
Of course you did.
Some people do.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I had a very innocuous question. What was secret song number 6?
Oh, you know what you are? You're Jethro Tull, man. You are living in the past.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, you started to say it yesterday, and then you farted, and you didn't say what it was.
If I started to say it yesterday, you were at my house yesterday.
Okay, Friday.
Friday. Goodbye. I'm sorry, that's the penalty for not listening every day.
Live in the now.
We will get to Buzz and Rob and their fantastic Las Vegas-style show in just a moment.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
We just came down here to get you away from that radio.
That's right, Herman. It's caused us nothing but trouble.
Don't worry. I'm just trying to get some music so I can relax. Will you listen to that?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, Dad, I got a new record today. Is it okay if I play it on the phonograph?
Why, of course, Eddie. I think it's very nice for a young boy to be interested in music.
The password is... Jizz. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, hold on a second. I want to talk about Rob and Buzz making their debut.
Yes, the two-man show.
The big cabaret show.
Lots of singing and dancing. The review.
Oh, yeah.
I just got to point out one thing. Larry King's column today.
Hi, I'm Larry King.
Just highlights from this column in USA Today. It's good to be king.
Oh, God.
Last week, I got to be this year's king of the New Orleans Mardi Gras. If I had an ego problem, this could really get to my head. Yeah. Luckily...
Yeah, he doesn't have an ego problem.
No.
I'm still a little Jewish kid from Brooklyn.
Battling to get on the subway.
How many times is he going to use that line?
They really do things right in the Crescent City. Everyone was gracious and kind to their humble king.
Yeah.
Now, wait, I hate him. In the same paragraph that he's written... If I had an ego problem, this could go to my head. And he writes, people were kind to their humble king.
Their humble king. Yeah, Larry, we're not buying it, okay?
Everyone was gracious. All right, then he writes about going to the convention center. The renowned artist, Michael Hunt, headed the group that took care of us.
Really? I didn't know that he hung out with him.
Mike Hunt. That's Larry's friend.
Wow, how about that? What if he spent a lot of time with Mike Hunt?
I have never heard of the Lake Las Vegas Resort until my friend Henry Gluck. I am Henry Gluck. Invited me to come over, sign some books, and address 125 prominent Nevadans.
He goes again, talking about how great he is.
Oh, yeah. That's my son, the movie star. I just completed playing myself in the film America's Sweethearts over in July. My scenes are with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Julia Roberts. This is not a bad way to make a living. I do enjoy appearing in films. It's a hoot with people who work and love their craft so much. I wish one day to play someone other than myself. My friend Al Pacino tells me in order to do this, I'd have to have a recurring role throughout the movie because the audience wouldn't buy it in a cameo.
Oh, yeah, so maybe something will come along, Larry.
Right. All of this after the headline being, it's good to be the king. If I had an ego problem, this could really go to my head.
And you know when you know you have an ego problem? When you write in your column that you don't have an ego problem.
And right after you write you don't have an ego problem, you write that everybody he met was gracious and kind to their humble king.
Gracious.
Then you kiss ass of some guy who invited you to sign books. Then you drop the names of the people who you have a cameo in a movie with, and you mention that Al Pacino is your friend. Yeah, I bet.
And you put it in a column, pretending that it's interesting.
And then the final item, Chance Armstrong King will be 2 years old on Friday. He's planning a quiet celebration with friends and has a uniquely designed cake featuring airplanes and trains, his two favorite moving objects. There's no joy like the joy of parenthood.
Everyone was very nice to their humble king.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the Chance. We have a Chance national anthem.
Okay.
Ready? Stand up, Chance. Okay?
Come on, Dobby. Don't be scared.
Okay. I wrote this song myself. This is a good boy.
Oh, my God.
This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the Chancy man. The little Chancy man. We love the Chancy man.
Yeah, no ego problem there. Here's my son.
I wrote this song.
Chance Armstrong King.
It's good to be the king. Mm-hmm. That's the first line of the story.
Everybody treated the humble king with respect.
If I had an ego problem, this could really get to my head. Luckily, I'm still a little Jewish kid from Brooklyn, battling to get on the subway.
He has an enormous ego. We've met that ego.
Jesus Christ.
Larry. Larry Zeiger.
Larry King. You believe that crap?
This is a good boy. I want to be treated great at breakfast.
I am the king of Mardi Gras.
My friend Al Pacino says I shouldn't just... You know what he's saying in that column is basically he shouldn't do cameos anymore.
Right now, right.
They should hire him on his acting ability alone.
And I thought, didn't CNN have some major...
Yeah, where they're not supposed to appear in feature films anymore.
Internal campaign. Now, I know that Larry King doesn't count as a real...
Exactly.
No, but you know what? News anchor.
He interviews newsmakers all the time, and his show has entertainment figures and lots of political figures.
When that rule was announced, they said Larry King is exempt from that rule.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Because Larry's not a real news guy.
Right.
He's the frog.
He's the frog with his egomaniacal collar.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
This is your big dykelicious dykerama.
Oh, Daryl. Hey. Daryl, a large dyke.
I am the largest one.
Hi, honey.
Oh, I was going to come down and get weighed in on the Fat Tuesday, and I realized that if I had come, I would have felt really thin.
Yeah, oh. You would have lost. You would have lost.
I would have lost.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mr. Latouris.
Yes,
I have
yes,
a favor
ma'am.
To ask of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Can I be your distant lesbian sister, Ivana?
Ivana Latouris. But it would have to be Ivana K. or
Ivana K. Latouris. I don't know. I thought it would be cute. I came up on that one. That one was on by myself.
Ivana Latouris. Well, you're probably thinking about Latourises all the time.
You know, nonstop. I bounced it off Rob on Friday night at that great show, and it was really good. Kudos to the boys.
Oh,
what was
kind.
That, Rob?
Maybe Ivanka Latouris.
Ivanka
Latouris.
No, you have to have that. The reason
have
it works with Mike is because you've got the C sound there. I don't want to go into too much detail. They'll delay us again.
Well, we'll work on it. Anyway, the
Ida. What about Ida?
Huh?
I know. I'm trying to think of, like, Aida.
Right.
Aida, well, yeah.
Aida, if you were, like,
but
from...
You see, it's Aida Latouris.
Okay, so much throat in between. Aida Latouris.
Yeah, you have to have a little cough there. That
we can, like, do the Jewish sound or something.
Well, listen, Cheryl the Big Dyke, you were at...
Yes.
Robin Buzz's first ever cabaret-style show.
It was fabulous.
Really? What did they do?
Well, I want to first acknowledge Rob A. for not introducing me, because he said that he was afraid for my life. But I think it was really because he's very hateful.
No, it's not that I'm all
that Rob's
hateful.
A big bigot. That's why he didn't introduce you.
Hates me.
I'm not going to say anything about anybody or anything. I just didn't think that was the crowd that would embrace someone who is so... open and wonderful with themselves as Cheryl.
All right, Cheryl, listen, what did they do when they came out? Did they have any, you know, I'm Rob, I'm Buzz,
out?
I'm Buzz, I'm Rob. Did they do any song and dance? Did they have any snappy...
No, but the DJ played a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
It was that kind of evening.
Woo-hoo! I was dancing up a storm, let me tell you.
What did they do?
Well, they came out and stood in front of the DJ booth with no spotlight or anything on them in the dark.
Yeah, next to the restrooms.
With microphones, and they tried to get the crowd riled and the crowd. It built as the night went on. Actually, by the end of the night, there were at least, I don't know, 200 to 300 people there. It was a pretty decent-sized crowd.
That's a good crowd.
Yeah.
Come on, be honest, Rob. How many people were there?
I would say 200 is a pretty good guess. It was a pretty big bar. I mean,
that's not bad. They were all out there to see you guys.
There, yeah.
All right.
There were at least, out of the 60 people on the dance floor, at least one or two that could dance.
What was the shtick that Rob and Buzz were doing?
Oh, they were just talking about how it was a listener appreciation night, and we have T-shirts, and Tom Gavin sitting over there.
So let me get this straight. Tom Gavin got announced, and you didn't, Cheryl?
Yes.
We were concerned for Cheryl's safety.
Yeah.
Let me just say that.
It was a conscious decision.
I've been to the Fair Oaks Mall.
Mm-hmm.
They like cripples. They don't like gays.
This is not the mall. This is the hotel in the parking lot of the mall.
Hey, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking those two angry lesbians at the bar could have protected me.
Were there angry lesbians at the bar?
Hold on, Cheryl, hold on. I got another guy who was there. Maybe we can get Cheryl is so fond of everyone on the show.
She's too
absolutely.
Kind.
It's hard. She's too emotionally attached.
Yeah, it's true. She can't move herself.
Get a true review from Jim. Were you there?
Oh, I was there, guys.
All right, tell us, how was the Rob and Buzz cabaret show?
Well, first of all, I had to get my friends who knew who Rob and Buzz were to point them out, because those guys just kind of hung out in the back. And then when I went in the beginning, there was like a fill your name out and put it in a fishbowl. And I went to go put it in the fishbowl, and Tom Gavin is guarding the fishbowl.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
that's how we limited the winners.
I just tried to put name in the bowl, and Tom Gavin rubbed his nose back and forth and sticks it out and introduces himself to me. Everyone kind of stared at me like whether or not I was going to shake hands with the guy.
Mm-hmm. What was the funniest moment involving Rob and Buzz? What was their greatest gag on stage?
I don't know if I could pick one great one. I think they were all pretty good.
Thank you.
I liked the positioning throughout the night right outside the ladies' bathroom.
Yeah,
that was a little shady.
We stood next to the restrooms.
That's right.
Yeah.
Could you tell me anything they did on stage?
I really couldn't.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
It was a blur.
Maybe Jim was drinking.
Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, were you there for this cabaret show?
Most definitely.
Okay, tell me about it.
Well, somebody did fill up a beer glass in the bathroom with urine.
I heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was the guy asking which one of you two it was.
It was me, Buzz.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You asked me if I put the beer stein full of urine in the men's room.
Right.
My answer was no.
How was the show?
Yeah, I wish I'd been there for
I
that.
I was lying.
How was the show?
It was great. They had like a musical chairs thing going on the dance floor. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's fine.
All right, that's okay.
That was fun.
Was it the best stage show you've ever seen?
The most. Well, I've never been to one of your Las Vegas style shows, so.
Well, this is supposed to be just as good.
No, Mike. Better, a little bit better.
You know, it was a mixed emotions kind of evening, because while we all loved the musical laps, there was a bit of intrigue because Tom Gavin lost his cane.
Yeah.
And I hope he got it back.
We had to make an announcement. We thought perhaps some evil person in the crowd had swiped the cane, but then. Later, Tom remembered he'd left it in the cab.
Oh, he left it in the
cab. I hope he got it back.
So he couldn't entertain by balancing it on his head.
No, we were going to ask.
No cane spinning.
Were there big laughs for either Rob or Buzz?
Well, I'm not sure it was
Not big laughs so much, no.
A little chuckle.
I think everybody was enjoying themselves. The girl at the end of the musical chairs did fall on her ass pretty well, though.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Were Buzz and Rob wearing matching vests?
No, they weren't.
Did they have straw hats on? And there came... Hello, Don and Mike. Scott, were you there? Scott.
Yes, I was. I was one of the contestants for that chair gig they had.
Fiasco.
Yes, how would you rate this cabaret show?
I thought it was pretty good. I got to meet a lot of people. I got to meet you guys. You know, it was really good. I can't wait for the next one.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
Well, you know, the word was that if it was a success, this was going to turn into a world tour.
Yes, that's right. And you and I would be put out of business.
Yeah, so I guess you can look for Buzz and Rob at a venue near you.
You know what I think tomorrow night? I think
oh, no.
I see no reason why you and I can't just take a break.
That's a
great idea. You know, and turn a portion of the stage show.
I think it's a great idea.
Over to Buzz and Rob.
See, we don't do a show really.
I think that's fantastic.
And we'll let them do their the musical chairs game.
Right, absolutely.
Never really was a show.
And, well, of course, they'll be doing it totally naked.
Well, as usual.
Pace.
There you go.
Yeah, pace.
Geez,
right. All right, well, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
I'm hearing nothing but great reviews.
Well, everyone's being very kind.
They
too
were
kind,
very
really.
Kind. It was a nice bunch of people, and I'll be at the Shark Club in Centerville this Friday.
Ah, fantastic.
Will you really?
Are you really going
to
be at the Shark Club?
We're going
Club?
To have an olive-tossing contest, and I'll be hosting that without Yoko. I mean Buzz.
How come Buzz isn't coming?
I'm kidding, Buzz.
We split up. It was a Martin Lewis thing. We split up. We're not going to be appearing together anymore.
So you're John and he's Yoko.
No, I'm kidding. It was just...
So you're going to be soloing at the Shark Club?
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to be, you know, half the people and one-tenth the entertainment.
Really?
I'd like to do a brief psychological experiment right now after you guys have performed together.
Okay.
Rob, on this piece of paper, please write down, if you believe in your relationship with Buzz, you are Paul or John.
Okay.
And Buzz, you do the same.
All right.
Because there was definitely a different dynamic.
Paul or John. Okay.
There was a dynamic.
There's my ballot.
And there's mine.
Uh-oh. Yeah. There's no cadence there because they both
said John.
They're John.
Absolutely.
They're both John.
Absolutely.
All right, do you want to play the game, Mike?
Absolutely.
I think it's easier for you guys. I could do it for you guys.
Yeah, and the weird thing is that for a lot of Friday night, I felt a lot like Ringo.
All right. Yeah, there were two Ringos up there, actually.
All right, ready? One, two, three.
Yeah, that's why.
See,
that's why it works, boys.
Yeah. I'm John. He's Paul.
Hi. How you doing? Kind of a no-brainer, right?
That's great. I'm going to get shot in front of the Dakota, and you're going to end up living with a woman with one leg. That's funny.
You know, it's weird when we do stuff like that. It is a test, and we usually pass them. We really do.
Yes, it is. Yeah. All right. You know, this is like rock, paper, scissors. I'm going to ask both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Buzz and Rob again, based on your working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So please write down again. You can only pick one,
mm-hmm.
John or Paul.
Okay.
Who are you most like? Go again.
Okay.
Write them down. Buzz. John. Rob.
You know what? Live the man.
John.
Uncle John.
They both want to be John.
Yeah, I really thought you'd switch this time, Rob.
All right, let's see if one of you switches this time. One more time.
Okay.
And seriously, think about the things that made John and Paul great.
Right. Right.
Each of them brought a different element together, which is why they were the greatest team.
Right. Okay. All right.
Okay. Rob, what do you got?
John. Hey, Buzz is Paul.
Buzz wrote.
I got tired of fighting.
Paul would switch rather than John.
Okay. But really, you both think you're John.
No, really, I think I'm George.
You know, really, if you're gonna make the show like that, you're right. I'm John. Mike's Paul.
Right.
You're George. Buzz, congratulations.
Hi there. Yeah. She's 16, she's beautiful, and she's mine.
You're Ringo.
Oh, you're killing me, you guys. You are killing me, really.
But thanks to everyone who came out. Nostalgias on Friday night.
Good time was that by
all. Let's see you all again real soon.
All right, glad you guys had a good time.
The world needs Ringos. I'll do the wine cooler commercial.
There
somebody
you go.
Has to.
Good for you. We will be at the Exhale Nightclub tomorrow night in Frednack, Maryland.
Doing our John and Paul show.
And I believe at some point tomorrow night, we're going to have to, at least for 5 minutes,
right?
Turn it over to the John and John show.
I think it's a great idea.
Why so cruel? Really?
And let the two John Lennons show us what they got.
Fantastic.
Buzz, it's time for the news and the comments now.
All right.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Right.
It's not a show.
He made it up.
You know, that's a great test, though, when you have two guys who work together.
Yes, yes,
it is. Ask John or Paul.
Oh, absolutely.
It's real simple.
Yeah, it's the way it works.
I was thinking Paul is the more commercial one, and John is a little more avant-garde, so that's why I chose Gone.
That's John. Not the way I thought about
it. No, not me.
Paul's kind of like, you know, the organizer who lays all the table out there, mm-hmm. And then Paul's kind of the guy that, you know, does the stuff.
Right. Okay.
So what are you saying? But John's a schmuck?
No. John is the brains of the Beatles, you know. John did most of the writing, you know. And Paul, you know, when we do our different things, you know, I do
I
a
know,
lot
I'm
of goofy stuff.
I'm just busting your balls.
You know, I mean, that's seriously the way I thought
about
it.
No, that's the way I look at it, too.
Yeah, both look at it that way, and that's important, too.
I'm John, you're Paul.
A little nervous there.
You're going to have a much more successful solo career.
You know, I'm trying to think right now of what another one would be. And I was thinking Martin and Lewis wouldn't be appropriate because we are both kind of comedian people.
No,
you know?
No,
Martin didn't bring anything to that part.
John Paul is the only. That's the ultimate.
The only one.
Yeah, because they're both good guys. Right. Can you think of another one, Rob?
Great teams, Rob. You got that in your brain, don't you?
The Beach Boys. That's Brian Wilson, really. I mean, the rest of the guys.
And you know, we both want to be Brian Wilson.
If you want to go historically, you can almost go to Thomas Jefferson and John Adams because they were constantly at each other's throats.
Okay, well that's not
but that's
work.
The only one I can think of.
Okay,
all right, get out of here.
You're
with me. You love 1776.
Sit down, John. Sit down, Rob.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight?
More heart trouble for the man who's a heartbeat away.
Oh boy, I just want to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no way I'm divorcing Frieda to marry some broad like Yoko Ono, though.
No way.
Good no way.
You. Absolutely not.
No way.
But there's good news. Laura and I are moving to Scotland to raise sheep.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
You know, maybe you can put Laura in your band the way that...
Absolutely.
The way that Paul put Linda in Wing.
That's a fantastic idea, not.
That was very...
Professional.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They can turn a bucket of crap into a bucket of cream. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's go right to the world of Ringo Elson. Hi, Buzz. News and comment time.
Hi, John. Hi, Paul. Vice President Dick Cheney is back in the hospital again with chest pains.
They're going to tell the truth this time?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, are they going to say what really is happening? I mean, you know, remember when they said last time it's just chest pains, he's fine, and they ended up doing a procedure and not telling anybody? I hope they tell somebody this time what's really going on.
Well, they're telling us what they're saying is going on, but it did start out very softly with President Bush saying it was just a precautionary measure. But doctors did insert a catheter to find out what was causing the pain, which was originally just described as discomfort. And then they performed another angioplasty after discovering that one of his arteries had narrowed again. The 60-year-old Cheney has had 4 heart attacks, the most recent in November. Today, the artery they stretched back out, the same one they stretched out in November.
That is one stretched out dick.
Didn't right after he had that first procedure,
uh-huh.
You know, they follow him in the post. They occasionally will follow people around and
right.
Find out what they have.
What they're eating.
And one of the things he ate was jambalaya. Like 3 weeks afterwards.
Well, wasn't there a giant article saying he had to lose like... 100 pounds immediately or something?
Yeah, look at him. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't changed his diet. He ate jambalaya. They estimate, I forgot what the caloric intake and the fat intake,
the fat.
But jambalaya is just loaded with stuff.
Yeah, they could. They make jambalaya with that sausage.
Andouille sausage.
Very high in fat. Anyway, Cheney went back to work a short time after last November surgery, and after having surgery to clear that blocked artery.
I'm fine.
He was the kid who got picked on for being scrawny. They called him dumb. Today, he showed them.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's a different kid.
All right. In the San Diego suburb of Santee, a 15-year-old boy opened fire with a handgun at school, killing 2 people and wounding 13 others. Other students say they heard him over the weekend threatening to do this, but when they pressed him, he said he was just joking. One student even looked in the shooter's book bag today to make sure he hadn't brought a gun to school. They found no gun. Witnesses say the ninth grader smiled as he fired away.
Well, you know, they're going to have the big graphics tonight. They'll have the special graphics, you know.
Yep.
Massacre in the high school. You'll have all the same idiots on TV again going through all the same crap that they went through before with this.
And we still got guns all over the place, so that's going to continue.
Apparently so. A lot of people on the East Coast are saying, what storm? unless they're in upstate New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, or parts of Pennsylvania, or unless they tried to fly in and out of those states today. Air traffic was snarled. Hundreds of flights were delayed. Millions of kids got to stay home from school, not around here. In upstate New York and western Pennsylvania, they say the worst is yet to come, that there could be 3 feet of snow there before it's over. That 3 feet was originally forecast for New Jersey, which is instead battling flooding. So the forecasters were close.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, super job.
Way to go. Good job. Listen, I wasted all my energy on that 4 hours ago at the beginning of the show.
I know, I won't.
Really. Just line them all up and hit them over the head with a snow shovel.
Rats, bastards.
You know what you do? Those other guys, you give them a catheter.
There you go.
That's right.
All of them.
That's right.
Balloon them up.
You teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't, you plug one end of it.
That's right. You learn them good.
There you go. You take maybe a match to the end of that catheter.
Oh my God.
And you burn it so that it melts. And then it seals the end.
Yeah.
You don't tell them.
That's right.
And then you put that sealed end into that big bag that's supposed to collect the urine.
Right.
Oh, and you say everything's fine. Your procedure went okay. And then as soon as they try to go, well, first of all, you give them a few glasses of ice water. And then when it's time, what's that sound they'll make, Rob? Yeah, it'll sound like an angry chuckle.
A lot of folks are still shocked by the use of the N-word on national TV yesterday by a prominent Democrat.
I know one man who's not.
Hey, I'm no Democrat.
West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd.
Okay, you.
Byrd was on Fox News Sunday talking about race relations when he said, and I quote, "There are white niggers. I've seen a lot of white niggers in my time. I'm going to use that word," end quote. Byrd's office says the senator realizes the N-word is not a good word, but it says he meant to criticize members of his own race. Quoting a spokesman, "It's a phrase Senator Byrd learned growing up. He's 83 years old. It just popped into his head," end quote.
Yeah, right. So give him a free pass on that one.
Well, maybe a bad idea for these 83-year-olds to be in the Senate.
Now, when civil rights leaders remember that Byrd was once a member of the Ku Klux Klan and voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1964, he has now apologized for yesterday's comment.
What do you apologize to, all the white niggers?
No, I think just to everyone.
Unbelievable.
Jesus Christ.
What a great guy he is.
Mm-hmm. In Missouri, the Ku Klux Klan gets to have signs telling motorists that it cleaned up parts of the state's highways. The state of Missouri tried to fight this, but today the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the group cannot be excluded from the litter control program, even though the KKK obviously discriminates.
For what?
The court did not rule on the merits of the case and made its ruling without comment. Accused spy Robert Hansen will be pleading innocent, according to his lawyer. The lawyer says there are a lot of gaps in the government's case, and he says that means he feels no pressure to cut a deal.
But his sons say, F them.
Hey, well, they're going to keep singing.
They're going to keep recording.
Absolutely.
Mm-bop. Mm-bop-ba-doo-bop.
I love Hansen.
Even though the FBI says this Hansen sold some of our highest secrets to the Soviets, they're willing to give him a break if he coughs up some information that would be valuable to the U.S.
And the group's older brothers are also cool with what's going on right now.
Who are they?
The older brothers that played hockey, the Hansen brothers.
Oh, Slapshot.
Yeah.
Right.
Robert Hansen's lawyer so far is saying no deals. Today, Hansen was ordered locked up based on prosecutors' concerns he's a flight risk.
Hold on. Got to do this, Buzz. We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Can handle just about anything the job throws their way. Until now.
For those who serve, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz's news and comments tonight brought to you by eGars.com.
Yeah.
Visit them, check out the great deals on Punch and the Hoyo de Monterey 5-pack. 5 cigars as little as $9.95. 4 super premium cigars, $18.95. Order online, call them up at 877-81-EGARS. You know, we have the live Las Vegas-style show tomorrow night.
Oh, yes.
Fredneck, Maryland at Exhale. And we got a big month of March coming up.
It'll be very exciting and complicated.
Thursday, we'll celebrate Rob Spiewak's birthday.
Right.
With in-studio live multi-girl sex show.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Friday, coming by to spend a large portion of the show with us, our good friend Kevin Pollak.
Hi, Kevin Pollak, fantastic talent.
Next Monday on the show, Jay! Body by Jay. Jake Steinfeld.
Work on those epidemics, gang.
Also, next Monday, the little bit of voice work that you did will run on the hit CBS show Yesteryear.
Yesteryear, I think it's a Keith Jackson impression that I did.
We will be back on the air in Greenville on radio station WFIS starting on Wednesday, March 14th.
All right.
Jarrett, the fat guy from the Subway commercials, will be here to tell us how he's getting laid constantly.
Yeah, that's after he dropped all that weight eating Subway subs.
He's another in-studio guest in March. John Walsh is going to be coming in to help us help him find bad guys.
You know, he was responsible for getting a lot of those escaped convicts back in jail.
And finally, the Academy Awards are coming up at the end of the month. And, you know, we've had him on the show plenty of times. Mr. Skin is coming on the show to give us his nude awards for the year 2000. All the great nude scenes featuring big Hollywood stars from the year 2000.
Fantastic.
Wow. Normally, this is the show with no guests.
Right.
All of a sudden, Roy Hill just gave me the list. Tons of guests and lots of naked chicks having sex with each other.
Very good.
Is there a greater show than this?
No.
I don't think so.
No way, John.
All right, what's next, Ringo?
Well, it was just a question of when. Monica Lewinsky has agreed to take part in an HBO documentary about her affair with Bill Clinton. Lewinsky tells the New York Times that her perspective has changed with the passing of time since the story broke. She says her comments to HBO will reveal more than what can be found in her biography.
It's called I Sucked, Therefore I Am.
The documentary is set to air next January, if you can wait that long.
Yeah, way to go, Bill. Guess you're glad you picked that one.
The governor of California isn't talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger's marriage.
Oh, I tell you, I'm so angry.
But
I say, Governor, I...
The governor's political advisor is talking about Arnold's marriage. Arnold wants it to stop. Schwarzenegger's talking about running for governor. But he says the current governor's campaign strategist is handing out copies of a magazine article that accuses Arnold of cheating on his wife.
I'm not a cheater.
The strategist says Arnold started it by criticizing the way Governor Davis is handling California's energy crisis.
My sex life has nothing to do with me being governor. People shouldn't vote for me because I'm dumb.
Now, listen, here's what Arnold said. This is a real bit of Arnold Schwarzenegger tape right here. Here's his comment.
Know something? After watching the mulatto shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the ass.
There he is. Your next governor.
Yeah. Rod Milner wants to set a new altitude record for skydiving. He wants to parachute from the very edge of outer space.
Yep.
Really? Australian daredevil.
It's the same helmet.
He'll be wearing that helmet.
He wants to make the 25-mile dive out of a hot air balloon. From that high up, he'll have to wear a spacesuit. Initially, he would free fall for 7 minutes at speeds of up to 1,100 miles an hour.
Wouldn't he burn up?
Well, that's one of the reasons he has to wear the spacesuit.
We're going
to
feel crisp.
The pressure, the lack of oxygen, and then there's that.
That's okay. He can go in the suit.
At 1,100 miles an hour, and he probably will, too. It means he'd be the first human to break the sound barrier without a plane or a car.
Gordo, request permission to relieve bladder.
The 37-year-old says he's getting a lot of help from scientists, who in turn plan to study the effects of the jump. Milner says he'll wear cameras on his suit, and that the event will be televised when he makes the jump 1 year from this month.
Great.
Sorry, I've got no enthusiasm.
More
for
that. Doing that.
I wonder if he puts a camera like on himself, you know, and you just see him 1,100 miles an hour catching those G's.
Why don't we try it like with David Arquette, though?
Oh, yes. Please.
You know, someone who's really expendable.
Yeah, no need for the suit either. You know, just put him in one of those goofy suits that he wears. Put him in that postal suit that he's wearing.
Right.
The widow Earnhardt is struggling to keep folks from seeing Dale's autopsy pictures.
Oh, this is a mistake by the widow Earnhardt. This is really a mistake because all she's doing is drawing attention to the fact that there's going to be pictures of his smashed up face on the internet.
Right.
If she didn't go out and make this big, grandiose, I was watching part of the Las Vegas race yesterday. Mm-hmm. Real good race won by Jeff Gordon. She had a press conference before the race where she announced that the autopsy photos are going to end up on the internet. And she hopes that people don't go look at them.
Right.
Now, if she hadn't announced that,
right,
the casual NASCAR fan like me
I wouldn't have known that there are pictures of Dale Earnhardt on the Internet. The
now, is that public photos? Information?
Yeah.
An autopsy?
In the state of Florida, it is. In the state of Florida, autopsy photos are public documents and can be seen by anyone. The Orlando Sentinel originally asked for the pictures. Its editor says he just wants the photos examined by a medical expert, that he has no intention of publishing them. But the very idea of it prompted Teresa's news conference that you spoke of. First time she's spoken publicly since Dale's death.
If you want to see it, go to brokenface.com.
There you go.
New website.
Right. Quoting her, "We are saddened anyone would invade our privacy during this time of grief. Even people in the public eye have a right to privacy. This right is more important than the desire to exploit a tragic situation, especially when no public good is being served."
Just go to goodiesheadachepowders.com.
There you'll find it. Fights broke out in shopping malls across Ohio over the weekend over sneakers. Nike was out with its retro Air Jordan 11s.
Hey, they're cool, man.
The gray version of the shoe Michael wore during the 95-96 season and in the movie Space Jam. They were supposed to go on sale for $125, but the stores got fewer shoes than they expected, and certainly fewer than the crowds were demanding.
They are cool-looking shoes.
Yeah, but people are idiots. Police in Columbus used pepper spray at one store and broke up fights at two others. In Toledo, several malls were evacuated, and a couple of shoe stores were closed for several hours.
Buzz, hold on. We got to do one more break. We'll be right back, everybody.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here. There's something happened to them, Mom. Come on, Piccoli. Just put the shirts back on. See that sign? No shirts, no shoes, no ties. Oh. Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Soothing your severe butter trauma. The Don and Mike Show.
Now here's Buzz.
Don and Mike.
You know, our Larry King impression,
yes, it's becoming somewhat garbled.
Sure is. If you're missing our live spots here on the local station on WJFK,
yes, for 1-800-MATTRESS,
and we'll give them an extra one because they deserve it after that. You ain't missing much. 1-800-MATTRESS. Hi, Ringo.
I don't know.
Ringo Starr. Mm-hmm. From Fairfax, Virginia, Langford.
Put Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt in a movie and you knock Hannibal out of first place. The Mexican was the top movie over the weekend, raking in just over $20 million. Teenagers made C-Spot Run the second hottest movie. It made just over $10 million.
You know, I don't think they plan ahead for these things, but I will tell you, if they do, mm-hmm. you know, you combine Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt, and then you throw in James Gandolfini, who is, you know, premiering that weekend in the hottest show on television.
Right.
Not a bad move on their part.
Worked out well for them. Nipping at Spot's heels was Hannibal, also with just over $10 million. Rounding out the list, Down to Earth, Crouching Tiger, Traffic, Chocolat, Recess, 3,000 Miles to Graceland and Sweet November.
Oh, hi, James.
Okay. Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
There he is. This will make baby diapers smell better. A scientist in Wisconsin has invented a new kind of disposable diaper that uses ground fish in its absorption layer.
Hey, nothing smells better than poop than fish.
The gel they use in diapers now can absorb up to 100 times its weight in moisture. But as many parents know, sometimes that's not enough.
Poop and fish.
The new fish gel, hey.
I'm sure there are a few dates like around here that have ended that way.
Hey, you got fish in my poop.
You got poop in my fish.
Hey!
the new fish gel absorbs up to 400 times its weight. No word on when they'll hit the market, but it can't possibly make the landfill smell any better.
I tell you, my fingers keep itching.
NBC says it will stick to its promise to air the XFL games for 2 years, even though almost no one is watching anymore.
You know,
that's a disaster.
You know, they hit an all-time low.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the lowest ranked, not just sports program.
Every week.
I mean, lower than stuff like on UPN's regular schedule.
Right.
So few people are watching the XFL. The lowest rated primetime hour in network TV history.
And don't believe that, what NBC's saying. Believe me. They know how to pull the plug on things like that.
There are ways out of contracts. You've said it before. Well, anyway, in the meantime, expect more desperate moves like this one. The New York Times says the XFL is considering signing players right out of high school.
Hey!
The ones who are not academically qualified for college. College coaches are not happy about this. An XFL spokesman says, and I quote,
"This is Sam Hunt.
You can pick up a rifle and defend your country when you're 19, so it's wrong to deny young men an opportunity to play football."
Right. Oh, Buzz, hold on for your next
yes?
story.
Well, this just in or out.
Wow.
Hey, man. Hey, it smells like poop and fish in here.
1-800-877-81-EGARS. Either want the phone number or the website being given out now.
Individually?
Whatever we fart. EGAR sponsors our farts, and we thank them. We have time for one more.
Well, if you're looking for interesting and sometimes unbelievably easy work, then apply at the Express Personnel Services Company in Oklahoma City. The boss there says she supplied 3 temps to a company that didn't want them to do any actual work. The company just wanted the temps to look busy so it would appear the company had more employees than it really does.
Cool. Hey, Rob, pretty good job, huh?
That's what I do every day.
She says she's also supplied workers for jobs like pouring rancid beer down the drain and cleaning blood off of plexiglass at hockey games.
Mm. Hey, wow. Sounds like a lot of the people here.
Absolutely.
But I mean, not just Rob. I was just stopping and thinking from looking at the employee list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people here have cleaned blood off of plexiglass.
1-877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller. Now a prize package selected especially for you. Good luck.
Number 1, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
You have no brain.
Under the direction of Andrew Blake, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Big live show tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
At Exhale, Fredneck, Maryland. Don't ask me how to get there. We're taking a car up there tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're going to take a little convoy up there.
We're going to hit the stage at 9 o'clock, underwear fashion show. Now, listen, it's with pasties. There's the liquor board's upset. The church groups are upset.
Yes, we've got to, it'll still be hot.
Yeah.
They're protesting, but we're doing the show.
Underwear fashion show, Homo Joe challenge, Tom Gavin challenge.
Very good.
Question answer. Me and Mike will be buying the first drink for everybody there.
Come on up to Exhale up in Frederick. Make a night of it. Have a good time.
See you there tomorrow night. It should be a great time. It's been so long since we've done a Vegas-style show.
Yeah, we're itching to get on stage.
In the D.C. Metro. And now, once again, here is Ringo Burbank.
In sports, the Baltimore Orioles are worried they might be facing a season without Albert Bell. Slugger has a bum hip that had him on the bench for a third straight game yesterday. He's getting treatment, but says it's not getting any better.
All right.
Former Washington Redskin Albert Connell needs
a... that's going to matter to the Redskins.
Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. Virtue was telling me David Cohn got shelled the other day.
I don't know. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Former Washington Redskin Albert Connell made the most of his free agent status. He's just signed a 5-year deal with the New Orleans Saints worth $14 million. That includes a $2.5 million signing bonus.
Yeah, he's worth it.
Those Saints just keep making those great moves.
Rod Strickland's back in Portland. Today he signed a $2.25 million contract to play the rest of the season as a trailblazer. He's played for 4 years in Portland in the early 90s.
They should take some of that $2.5 million and buy him a really big alarm clock. The guy has a problem showing up on time for practice.
I want to be an NBA player.
Yeah.
I really, really do.
Finally, police in Tampa are investigating a DJ bit that involved the killing of a live boar on the air. They're trying to determine if any laws were broken when Bubba the Love Sponge shows held its roadkill barbecue. The listeners were invited to bring animal carcasses to a parking lot to be cooked. One guy brought a live boar, cut off its testicles, and then killed it. Animal lovers say the killer and Bubba should be arrested. The station lawyer, Brian Albritton, says the animal was not mistreated and died instantly.
I know some guys who work down in Tampa, and this is the update on the story.
Yes.
That, yes, this did actually happen, but what happened out on the station's parking lot was humane, and what happened to the animals all the time, the disc jockey played sound effects to make it sound like the animal was in excruciating pain, like they were doing this incredibly inhumane thing, when actually this is something that's done all the time.
The lawyer, in fact, says the squeals the audience heard came from a sound effects machine.
Oh, so now the lawyer say, I thought that was a secret. I thought I was letting go with a big secret.
Right.
All right.
Now, that's his public response now. And by the way, Bubba's real name is Todd. Todd Clem. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Okay.
Go! Yes, no! That's it, gotta go! See you tomorrow with the big show. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right, right. What's your name?
Steve Carrier.
Hi, where are you from?
Stafford, Virginia.
Beautiful. Thank you for listening on good old WJFK FM. Well, St. Patrick's Day coming very soon. You want a box of Lucky Charm cereal. Happy St. Patrick's Day from General Mills. The way there's more. You've won the limited edition wool bomber jacket from the ABC TV show The Job.
Yeah.
Starring Dennis Leary. ABC's new and original series premieres Wednesday, March 14th, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central on ABC. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. You guys kick ass.
Thank you for listening. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie. Hello, trusted friend. Please throw that leather football helmet in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Very complicated.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
That was so long.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Till we meet again. Sandra Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike.